On this episode of Podigious.
Yay, me! Grandma!
Who do they think they are to forbid me anything?
If the god had told you to set your foot on fire, would you do it?
I wish that Graumon turns back to Guillemon very, very soon. I wish that I will turn back to Guillemon very, very soon.
I need your password! You can use mine to get on the internet!
Podigious!
Welcome to Podigious, episode 302. Digimon don't always want to be the champions.
Setup, part 2.
Impmon vs. Calumon, Digivolving Mechanics, Jokes and Dreams, and Militant Gender Roles.
Recorded September 27th, 2015.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Ash Soffman, and I'm joined by Jeff Ruberg.
Bullseye, baby.
Ashley McDonald.
I would digivolve into Rinkmon, I have decided.
That was obvious. Okay. That should have been the obvious conclusion for a while.
But since I had to be for a hockey game, and that's more why our feedback episode was short, I'm clarifying.
And my brother, Andrew Soffman.
Yep. That's it.
Do we hear you both are, like, hammering in the brother thing?
I think people forget.
They need to be reminded constantly.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, you have the same last name.
Who knows? Cousins. Strange. Well,
none of us refer to each other by last name except in this section.
You could be twins from different bins, as they say.
As who says, Jeff?
It's gone trending on Twitter since our last episode.
Yeah.
Totally taking the world by storm.
Jeff, I realize I'm not on Twitter, but I know that it's not.
This week we're looking at episodes 5 through 9.
In episode 5, Dream a Little Dream, aka The Melancholy of Calumon Susumiya, Calumon starts terrorizing impressionable youths with urban graffiti and becomes the first Digimon soccer star. Guillemon accidentally summons a demon with the Star of David, and Renamon totally killsteals.
In episode 6, O Partner, Where Art Thou, aka Rika 101, Teenagermon shows up to make fun of Renamon for having a Pokemon trainer. Renamon equips Scyther's claws and digivolves to Ninetales because spiders are gross.
In episode 7, Now You See It, Now You Don't, aka The Disappearance of Guillemon Susumiya, Guillemon, having just learned object permanence, learns that nothing lasts forever, except friendship and plot convenience of digivices. The kids narrowly escape a Lovecraftian planet, which Yamaki uploads from his sweet flip phone.
In episode 8, A Question of Trust, aka Impmon Steals the Show, Impmon starts teaching Guillemon libertarian philosophy, which conflicts with Takato's parenting approach of locking Guillemon up to prevent other people from locking him up. A Devigermon appears, and Takato's Digivolution fanfic comes to life with the power of friendship.
In episode 9, Not As Seen on TV, aka Digimon Don't Always Want to Be the Champions, Takato is an irresponsible Digimon designer and makes bigger red Agumon burn off the calories from several episodes of bread. Finally, he's able to de-digivolve through the magic of pathetic fallacy.
So, I mean, this arc, loosely, I mean, we start off with, like, introducing Calumon, then go introduce Rika and her backstory more, then Guillemon disappears, then we introduce Impmon and Guillemon, or Guillemon digivolves, and then episode of Guillemon trying to de-digivolve from Graumon.
Can't believe that had to be a whole episode.
It really did not have to be a whole episode. Completely unnecessary and also really annoying.
I mean, a lot in this arc is unnecessary, but I think...
Yeah.
Well, but what I think about it works is that it's not... That's not the highlight of it. Like, the highlight is the build-up of the characters against those kind of unnecessary backdrops.
Except the payoff is not what it could have been.
I suppose.
I have some... I'm thinking of Renamon's Digivolution in particular.
Like, oh, yeah.
Several parts of that particular episode just, like, don't sit quite right with me from, like, a character-building perspective.
I forgot.
But we'll get there.
When I was trying to list my favorites, I was like, I don't have any least favorites, and you just reminded me. Least favorite episode. Episode 6.
No, my least favorite episode is definitely the last one, as it was last time. I'm really upset that we end on, like, the weakest episode in my life each time.
Right.
I'm okay with episode 6. It's not the best.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have particularly strong feelings about any of the episodes, so like, yeah, I'm not
are
like
talking,
episode 6
are
is...
we talking about favorites already?
I mean, favorites are kind of like merged into general discussion, so. But I mean, there wasn't really a cohesive theme to this micro arc or whatever we're calling it. It felt like we had introductions of Calamon, Rika, and Impmon, but also they're kind of interwoven, like Impmon's introduction episode is also Guillaumon's dissolution episode. Mm-hmm. So I think more than other seasons, these first larger arc, which we're calling setup, the first like 13 episodes or so, are more
13 episodes of setup.
I mean that's how every Digimon season is, you know, like
not as bad as this.
Well, I wouldn't say bad, but I mean every season has like about 13 episodes before it kicks into the like the main season-wide plot. I guess you could argue that Adventure doesn't really follow that because Adventure ends there too. But Adventure kind of like the first 13 episodes are their own self-contained thing, which are like every other. Like Adventure is a series of self-contained things, and the Devimon arc is just another one of those. And 02, I guess, is different because the Digimon Emperor arc lasts for longer. But I think, okay, now I actually don't remember Frontier follows this either. So maybe I'm just thinking of Savers. I might just think of Savers.
You just made it up.
I might be just thinking of Savers and Tamers.
Stuff that ends in ers.
I guess it feels kind of bad because like, that's an entire season of a normal anime, and it's like just used on setup, but like I enjoy the setup, even though I'm not like we've yet to reach anything that I'm particularly like, oh my god, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But everything I've been like, that's pretty good.
Mm.
I guess you disagree about the pretty good.
I don't know how I feel yet, because like so far everything's felt very stilted, and I don't know why that is, since it's not like we had great writing in the other seasons either, in the previous seasons, but something so far has just not been quite as enjoyable for me.
Hmm.
And I'm like more annoyed at things that annoy me than I was at those same annoying things in Adventure in 02. And I don't know if it's like nostalgia or what.
Interesting.
See, I'm definitely enjoying this more, but at the same time I'm like, this still has the same problems of Adventure where, like, Rika and Renamon have their two episodes and you're like, great, Rika, like, learned something. But then the end of this arc is just, like, completely contradictory to how I thought they would act after that.
Well, I was going to say about that particular, but...
Yeah, I guess we will talk about that particular episode.
Yeah.
Personally, I think the problem is that each episode feels episodic to the point where they just don't connect at all.
Oh, really? Because I was going to say that, like, if anything, these are the, like, they are very non-episodic.
Like, it's trying, like in episode 6, Rika learns friendship with Renamon, and it's just, like, the next episode, it doesn't feel like she shows it at all. And it's just, like, each episode's self-contained, and, like, it doesn't feel like they're connecting very well.
Hmm. Are there really that many other...
Like, eight and nine in which Guillaumon digivolves, but each episode is just so different.
Hmm.
I mean, I think they're all connected, but they still feel episodic in a way.
It's just not well enough.
Sure, I mean, I agree that I think Rika just, like, consistently resets at the beginning of each episode. And I, again, find it annoying that each episode relies on Guillaumon sneaking out because Calamon or Impmon or whatever makes him leave his hideout. And, like, that also just seems like a particular way to reset each time. And that's just kind of annoying. But otherwise, I think there are clearly story threads that connect but are actually progressing slowly.
Yeah, I feel like the... Because each episode does kind of have its episodic theme to it. You know, like, the first episode of the arc was about Calamon, then it was about Rika, then it was about Impmon, then it was about Guillaumon disappearing, then it was about... Like, and those things that they're about feel very, very disconnected, but what I kind of consider the meat of this arc is the just general exposure to the characters and letting us get familiar with them. And I feel like that stuff, aside from Rika's characterization, which does feel a little bit all over the map, but I think I'll get to that. Aside from that one thing, I think those feel like a kind of a cohesive, serialized thing that we're experiencing. Which, I mean, is different than... Like, we kind of had that in Adventure where, like, each episode was very episodic, but also, like, you know, you're like, witnessing the... Their adventure was very serialized. You know, like, they were progressing every episode to some new location. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess... don't know. I feel like because we have more, time with the characters this season, because there are fewer main characters, we get to spend more time with the three tamers than we ever did with individuals in Avenger.
Are the next episodes going to be about Henry? Because I feel like he's getting shortchanged.
He really is. I'm upset
about
it.
As of right now.
Well, I mean, he had an episode last arc, and Rika had an episode this arc, and Takata gets to focus otherwise.
Rika had, like, two episodes this arc. Takata gets, like, every episode, let's be real.
Right, but yeah. Rika only had one episode. She's going to have another one in the next arc.
Wasn't she mostly the focus of episode 6 and 7?
No.
Seven? Just 6.
Yeah.
7 was when Gilmon was disappearing.
Yeah, so definitely not her.
Episode 6 just felt like forever.
That might be it, yeah.
It was just bad, in my opinion. It's a shame because I really like Rika in theory and just really didn't like... It felt like the execution of the episode was lackluster. Like, a lot of cool ideas for her characterization that were... And it seems like... So in general, I'm probably going to start referring to more and more to differences with the dub and the sub.
Okay, no. But episode 7 is mostly Takato and Rika because he, like, seeks her out to get her advice on stuff.
For one moment. Like, he doesn't like, have any more conversation with her than other people.
You know what? To me, that's what it felt like.
He does seek her out, but yeah. So I mean, instead of all being negative, what were my favorite things? Not going to find them in Google. Not going to mind looking there. Favorite episode was 8, but as I kind of mentioned before, none of them really stood out a ton. So it kind of only stood out a little bit. Episode 8 was the one with Impmon's introduction and Gilmon's dissolution, but it mostly stood out because of the dissolution, not so much the Impmon introduction. I don't know, I just feel like it was a well-executed digivolution scenario, but anyway, it was set up, character moments that were set up in an interesting manner. Anyway, my favorite character, because we do have to pick favorite characters. Does everyone have their pick?
Why don't you just tell us yours?
Well, we know yours.
No, you don't.
Oh, we don't?
It's not Impmon?
No.
Crazy.
I had lots of reservations about Impmon because... his behavior in the last episode, in the episode with Growlmon trying to de-digivolve, is just, I mean, just like so much bullying to the point of just like making me uncomfortable with liking him in this arc. So
That's how I felt about Impmon in this arc. I was like, I can't like you at all. You're terrible.
Impmon is the definition of a pansy. I'm just saying.
But yeah, I mean, I liked him through the rest, but then like just like that one episode, I'll have more to talk about that. Like, I don't think it's like negative on the show's part or anything. But yeah, I wasn't like, oh, personally love Impmon, fist pump Impmon, cool, you're good, cool bro. I can't know because of that. So my favorite character was Rika because here's where I'm gonna get to the like. I think that I didn't like her episode. It felt pretty contrived and like. I think it was a lot of differences in the dub script that kind of made it about, like, made her flashbacks about Digivolution that were kind of forced to connect to the scenario in the, that was going on in the main timeline. So that kind of fell flat, and I can't remember specific instances, but, like, just didn't flow quite right, the logic of everything. But anyway, once she does kind of grow closer to Renamon in that episode, she outwardly, to everyone else, doesn't really seem to change much in the next couple episodes. But I mean, like, definitely the way she acts outwardly is different than how she acts inwardly. And we don't really get to see what she's thinking inwardly too much. But it seems like the behavior she exhibits definitely changes. You know, she kind of begrudgingly becomes part of the team. So she still talks about Digimon being data and, like, not being worth it. And, like, you know, like, why do you care about Gilmon? And, like, why can't you be Digimon and stuff? But, like, she helps Takata find Gilmon in the tunnel. She first of all, like, goes to help them and then decides to turn back and then decides to come back. And she, when Gilmon's going to Digivolve, when Gilmon's fighting Digimon, both Rika and Henry stand back and don't have Toriumon or Renamon fight. Because what seemed to me that was signaling, like, you got this, Gilmon and Takato, and, like, letting him handle it and letting him grow. Like, even once, like, they, Toriumon, like, gets information from Hitmon and it comes back and then it's like, here's the information, but, like, they don't actually try to fight. They just, and, like, that's very contradictory to Renamon, like, in the past has always been like jumping in to take the kill and get the data and stuff. So, and there's also when she confronts Growlmon in the park, it's particularly nasty about it. And like, you know, Digimon are supposed to fight, not hide. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to fight him to like teach you a lesson. And that comes, like, it is really nasty, but it's also like, what reason does she have to care? Like, she's there because she wants him to learn. It's like annoying how she handles it, but like, she's still like, what she's expressing is kind of a selfless concern. Those are my reasons for liking Rika. Although I noticed in this episode, in this arc, how ridiculous her hair is, and now I can't, like, Now I'm like, I don't like your design anymore, but I think I'll grow. I think I'll stop noticing it too much, and then I'll like it again.
Only just now?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I don't know. Like, I guess I like noticed it looks like a pineapple, and I was like, I guess she's replacing the pineapple logo on Izzy's laptop.
Like, Guillemon is Pineapple Head.
What? Is he actually called that?
Mon calls him Pineapple Head at some point.
Really?
Yes. Why?
Yeah, that's weird. She's definitely the Pineapple Head.
You know what? He hasn't gotten around to insulting her yet.
Does he ever, actually? I think Ipman knows better. He can sense danger.
Well, I mean, he insults Renamon a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Renamon has some chill. Like, Rika does not.
Yeah, Renamon has chill. She's just like, you need to get better writers. Walk away. Peace out. I will agree with you about Rika, but also she is infuriating to talk to. Like, Takato has every right to be like, oh, Rika, God.
Yeah.
So infuriating.
She's...
All right, does anybody else want to go?
Yeah, favorite.
My favorite, I think, in this arc would be Henry. And not for any real reason. It's just everybody else annoyed me so much in this arc. I just, like, could not take anybody's crap. And, like, he was, you know, what he always is. And I think he had some funny moments when he did show up, which was rarely. So, you know, you did good, Henry.
Henry trying to bring the chill.
He made an attempt. There was no chill to be had, but he points for effort.
Would you like to go, Andrew?
I honestly don't know what to say, but I guess Terriermon?
Yeah!
Because his snarkiness is off the charts this episode. I mean, this set of episodes.
He was legit rude a couple times. It was adorable.
Mine is a toss-up between Guillemon and Renamon. So hard to choose. How can I betray my Guillemon, though?
Aren't you frustrated with Guillemon's constant leaving the nest, though?
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, but he's still a child.
He's still the only one who gets any damn attention in this show because of it. And he still says cute, endearing things.
Yeah, but Renamon's snarkiness was also off the charts these episodes as well.
Oh yeah, she went for the sick burns, yo.
She really did.
Especially in episode 6.
Alright, you know what? I'll throw everybody off and say Renamon.
Yeah, we are so surprised.
Don't say it sarcastically, Andrew.
My mind is totally blown. I don't know how I can handle the world now.
I know you love Guillemon, but like, this is also not surprising at all.
I'm never going to pick Terriermon.
I know that too. Like, that's fine. We also know that I am quite often going to pick Terriermon and or Henry. Like, let's just put that on the table.
All right. I want to see how many fantasy drafts we have ruined.
I know, right? Maybe you should cut that, Jeff.
Cut that? Cut what?
Us saying that we're pretty often going to pick, that I'm pretty often going to pick Henry and Terriermon.
No.
Everyone knows that.
You have to say it, and then you have to pick somebody else completely different the next episode, and everybody will have voted for them, and then they'll be like, damn it, Asher. That's way more fun.
But I'm always going to be honest. But I didn't pick Terriermon this time. None of us picked Terriermon. Andrew did. That's right. I picked Henry, though.
All right, true. We picked the actual partners. It was Henry, Terriermon, Rika, Renamon.
In these episodes, the partners are honestly more interesting.
Guillemon and Takato are just hogging all the screen, yo. You need to chill out.
I do suspect that the partner Digimon will be less interesting as we go, like, in later episodes.
There are no other Digimon to be interesting right now, except Palamon and Ipmon.
Well, yeah. But I mean, we're not choosing, like, a Digimon and a human, so they're competing with the humans.
Sure. There are hardly any humans right now. Mrs. Saji, my favorite character.
Oh, she's great. I love her. Oh, I forgot about her.
Actually, a lot of the adults were great in these episodes.
None of them were as great as she was.
Well, of course, but Takato's parents were a close second.
Takato's parents are starting to wear on me.
How so?
We'll get there.
Of course.
right, are we, what do we do now?
I don't know what happens now.
Commercial reaction? Is this a new commercial?
Oh, yeah, the commercial reaction. I forgot about that. I forgot that's in the same thingy. But yeah, so it's this particular time code, so it should just open to the right thing when you open it. But if it doesn't, make sure you go to 4 minutes and 55 seconds.
Yes, I'm there.
And we should all start around the same time. Okay. So everyone have it paused?
Yes.
Okay, let's go on 0, 3, 2, 1, go.
Today, two Digimon who can't be tamed. And one who needs her tamer to understand her secret.
I will digivolve, but how soon might depend on you.
Time is running out. Secrets will be revealed and friendships forged as Rika, Henry, and Takato are drawn towards their destinies. Watch all new episodes of Digimon today starting at 9 Eastern, 8 Central and Pacific.
9 a.m.
Only on Fox Kids.
That's so early.
Yeah, my goal actually, I haven't hit yet, but my goal eventually is to start releasing the podcast episodes at 9 a.m. Central on Saturdays. Not Central. 9 a.m. Eastern. 9 a.m. Eastern. Well, I can't actually. There's no real time that exists that's 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central and Pacific, because like that actually means airing later in Pacific time. But yeah. Anyway, I would like to actually release podcast episodes at 9 a.m. Eastern Saturday mornings, but I haven't actually done it, so.
But that's 6 a.m. our time.
Right. I would have to, like, make it all ready the night before and then wake up at 6 a.m. to hit publish and then go back to sleep. But I remember Digimon being at, like, 10:30. Maybe that was earlier seasons.
Why would they make it 9? That doesn't seem like the ideal time slot.
I don't know.
For, like, your biggest hit.
I would have been up.
I was always up.
I mean, I would have been up, too. I'm just saying.
I feel like 9 a.m. I think 9 a.m. was like the first slot that people were mostly awake for. And like 8 was like questionable. 10 was like you definitely were.
Okay, wait. Did the major thing start at 8?
What major thing?
Like I used to watch like crappy things from 7 to 8, perhaps, if it was 8.
I thought it was 9. There were some major things at 8, yeah. But like I actually really don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think there were that many major things at 8.
But like did Fox Kids air for 4 hours? From 8 to 12?
Yeah, I think so.
Children, you wake up so early. God.
this teaser was just for the Recon Renamon episode. I was thinking, because like the first couple, I think this is the first that, oh no, wait, now I'm confused.
Renamon!
Wait, no, I got this wrong. No, that was for both the whoa, that's weird. It was for both the Calumon episode and the Renamon episode. So
that makes sense. It had clips from the Calumon episode,
but like the way we talk about everything being so dramatic had nothing to do with that episode. Like
it was very overly dramatic. I don't know what you want from me.
I just like it's so overly dramatic about those two episodes. Like how much did like all of them all learn? Like it said, just it was really silly. Yeah.
You have to get a soundboard of Rika shouting Renamon.
Renamon. There I have it.
Yeah.
Could you tell that wasn't me?
Pilots.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to look at these like week specific ads because like I totally forgot how ridiculous they were and how overly dramatic they were.
Yeah,
they're amazing.
I don't remember having any kind of like upset expectations, you know, like, oh, this commercial said it would be this really big thing and then it wasn't, you know, that should have happened though, based on that.
You were 11 or whatever.
It's true. My topic this week is about the contrast between Impmon and Calumon. It's like one of those essays from middle school, like compare and contrast. And yeah, so I mean, this arc, we got both an episode dedicated to Calumon's introduction and most of an episode dedicated to Impmon's introduction. And neither was their very first introduction. They weren't like, they didn't show up. And then they both had clips in earlier episodes slowly introducing them and then got a further explanation.
Wait, Impmon appeared earlier on?
Yeah, he appeared in the Renamon Digivolving to Cubone episode.
At the end.
I don't know if that was at the end, because he like had a conversation with Renamon in the middle.
Oh, I thought you were implying that Impmon was like in the first 4 episodes.
Oh, no. I'm just saying that he appeared in episode 5 and didn't get his full kind of introduction.
Like a formal introduction,
right,
about him.
Yeah.
It's just the conversation with Renamon that he has in
on top of the street lamps or whatever. I don't it's hard for me to tell how much I'm digging and how much or where this falls on the obvious to not obvious, I'm digging too much scale. But I think they're like Calumon and Impmon are definitely set up to be opposites. And in particular, I think it's especially the way they are handled in these first episodes as kind of like influences and friends of Gilmon, that they are a twist on the, like, good angel, bad angel visual trope, where you have, like, the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder, and...
Except both are kind of bad influences.
Yeah.
Right, right, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, they visually are definitely, like, you know, like, there's the white one and the dark one, and... But, like, they actually are both bad, and, like, they're both... That's literally what I wrote, both are, quote-unquote, bad influences on Gilmon. They...
It's also they both resist being tamed.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, visually, like, they are actually kind of similar. They are small and, like, generally bipedal and, you know...
They're both childish.
Yeah, they've got the big eyes. Like, they look... They're opposites, but they are opposites within a category of similarity.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like, exactly. I think that makes them even more opposites.
Right.
You know, like, two sides of the same coin instead of... Just right. Wildly different. And I guess eventually, I do particularly remember, like, I think, you know, at some point they're going to interact a ton. Maybe not a ton, but, like...
Yes, I believe that.
Yeah,
happens.
So we'll see how this analysis holds up to that. But at this point, they haven't interacted at all, and they're both, like, you know, they... I don't know how to describe it. Like, they come and influence Gilmon at different points of time, and then
they're
never...
obnoxious.
But
they,
yeah, I mean...
They both want to have fun.
Right, but that's...
In their own ways.
Right, they both want to have fun in different ways.
It's, like, brought up specifically in, like, Calamon asks at some point, Gilmon, like, would Takato want you to be sad? And Gilmon's like, nah, he wouldn't. And then, like, the next episode, Itmon's like, what? I forget what he asked specifically, but he asked something like, you know, would Takato, like, if Takato told you to burn your foot, would you do that? No, so you should come play with me. Like,
well, yeah, I think they are... It's weird how similar they are for totally different reasons, because, like, Calamon definitely says that out of, like, a childish innocence and naivete, and Itmon, on the other hand, is, like, you definitely feel a sense of sinisterness to that, like, he's not saying that to be, like, here, like, I don't understand why you are listening to his rules, he's, like, trying to twist it and be, like, see, I found a loophole, and, like, your logic doesn't hold up, so, like, I can convince you.
They're just both children.
It's not even just a loophole with Itmon, he's, like, insulting Gilmon's intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, I can manipulate you with the most basic argument I can think of to get you to come out of
it. It was a pretty
stage.
Silly argument.
Yeah, it's, you know, if your friends all jumped off a bridge, would you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically that, but worded less convincingly.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, both of them stand as kind of like they are a question to the necessity of tamers in this world, but in different ways, and... So I'm trying to figure out where we really stand in terms of this kind of spoiler. So if you don't want to find out anything about Tamers or Itmon and Calamon, I know you might want to skip ahead a minute or so.
Yeah,
but
what if we can't skip ahead, Jeff? Some of us don't remember things about Tamers.
Well, close your ears then.
I can't, because then I won't know how to come back.
Come back in 30 seconds.
Really? I can do that?
Okay. Sure. I mean, do you not remember anything about their
origins?
I remember
some things, but I would also, like, prefer not to be reminded. So
okay. Get Terrorimon ears
surprised.
And put them over your ears.
Alas, if only. All right. Bye.
Okay. We'll be back in 30 seconds. So I just wanted to point out that, like, Itmon definitely had Tamers and rejected them, whereas Calamon doesn't. So they come from different origins, and they're not, like, totally exactly, you know, symmetrical. But they, I think, and where they end up is definitely not symmetrical. Like, Itmon has, you know, digivolves, whereas Calamon is a source of all digivolution. So they definitely have different trajectories. They're not totally just two sides of the same coin. But I think that they are still, at this point, symmetrical. And I didn't really have a conclusion to this, just that they go in different directions. And I think that is cool and not necessarily, like, refutes the fact that they are two sides of the same coin. They're different people. And they're, like, they have their own arcs that is not totally reflective of them having to just reflect the other person. Anyway, I guess we can wait for Ash to come back. You hear that going now, right?
I don't.
Ash!
Oh.
Hey.
Ash, it actually worked.
So here's the question I had, that, like, the idea of, it's mostly Itmon who is, like, because Calamon kind of questions the idea of, like, needing a tamer, but not in a forceful way. He's kind of just, Calamon's presence there is like, I don't need one, but whatever, I'm just cool. Whereas Itmon's like, you don't need a tamer. Like, you know, he's much more forceful and kind of...
Rebellious.
Yeah, rebellious and, like, forcing the question down the kids and the Digimon's throats. So yeah, something about the idea of Itmon questioning the tamer's relationship and their necessity, it felt very familiar to me, and I couldn't really place why, like, what... Because I don't think there's any entity like that in Adventure 02, right? Is there? What am I thinking of?
I'm thinking.
Wait, did you ask us,
I mean,
people who question authority?
My immediate response is Demi Devimon.
Hmm.
Because
yeah,
they're voiced by the same person.
Oh.
And also,
more like, who isn't voiced by him?
Yeah, really.
I am. I'm just a character. I'm just a Stephen Blum character.
That's not Stephen Blum.
Okay.
Oh,
I don't know who
Derek,
it is. Who
Derek
is it?
Derek Stephen
Prince. Oh, it's Derek Stephen Prince. I am also a Derek Stephen Prince character.
No, you're not.
You're not even close.
Oh, are you implying he doesn't have a vocal range?
Yes. kidding. Love you.
I'm sure he's a fan of our podcast.
But yeah, like, Demi Debimon tried to woo Patamon away. Actually, he tried to woo TK away from Patamon.
Well, he tried to do a lot of things.
He did try to do.
But he never said, like, the idea of a partner is unnecessary, right?
Actually, I think he was trying to be TK's partner. I'm just trying to get these two away from each other and preventing the crest from activating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this has happened before, or happened elsewhere, not necessarily before. But it wouldn't have happened in Frontier, for obvious reasons. I didn't watch enough of the other seasons to think of when it might have come up.
It might have been brought up in Savers, but I'm not sure. It's been a while.
I guess there is...
It might be with Ikuto and... Wow, I totally just forgot.
Ikuto is kind of the embodiment. Like, he is very much having... He is a partner, but I guess he also considers himself a Digimon. So
yeah, It's complicated.
Yeah, I think I might also just be thinking of like what I remember of the rest of this season.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, because this isn't like a lone idea.
Well, yeah, Itmon pretty much brings it up for the entire series.
Yeah.
So we're gonna probably be talking about this a lot.
I was wondering, was I thinking like some other franchise like Pokemon or something? But like the only thing I think of is like Pokemon Black and White. Question that, right? Like that.
I don't think it was Pokemon, because I'm assuming mostly you saw the early Pokemon episodes, like the early seasons. And well, I don't think it came up much back then, and it wouldn't have come up from a Pokemon's perspective because they didn't talk.
Except Meowth.
Except Meowth.
I have Pokemon news that I just found out. So this I found out from listening to Lost in Translation. Mon May casually referenced the fact that she saw a recent episode of Pokemon where Meowth was like a good guy and was like on Ash's team. And I looked this up and I was like, what? No!
That's happened before.
Yeah, so yeah, it happened. And I don't know how long he was on Ash's team.
Probably an episode.
It was one episode?
Oh, wait, it was a few episodes, probably.
Oh, that's kind of disappointing. But yeah, apparently he was fired.
The newest season? Are we talking about the newest season?
It was in the Unova region? I'm not sure which one that is. That's one of the newer ones, right?
So Black and White.
Okay, so it's not the newest.
No, that's not the newest. Yeah, that was like 5 episodes, maybe. It wasn't very long.
He was supposedly fired from Team Rocket and then joined Ash and then revealed it was part of some ploy and joined Team Rocket again.
Shocking.
But I was like, oh my god, my whole life has changed. But then it wasn't, actually.
But on the topic of Pokemon being partners, it might have been the first movie.
Yeah, I was just thinking that after you mentioned it. Like, Mewtwo said it quite a bit.
That's true. Yeah, I was thinking something more familiar. Like, I haven't rewatched the Pokemon movie ever, so I've seen it in theaters. But I have watched like commentary of it online, so maybe that is it. Because I guess I did think about that semi recently. Okay,
maybe it was Soul Eater. I'm sure it comes up in Soul Eater. I don't know much about Soul Eater, but I'm sure it comes up.
I don't know if it actually does. Also, I haven't seen it in a while.
They're like slight rebellious partners, but I think they're mostly like, yeah, I kind of need a partner to like wield me. Like, I think Maka and Soul Eater have like a falling out at some point and try to do their own thing. But then quickly come to realize that that's foolish.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of which incident was in particular. So in general, I found this blog recently, a Tumblr blog that it's called like, we'll have a link to it in the show notes. I can't remember the exact name. It's called something like Digimon Dub Sub Differences or something like that. I don't think that's quite it. I think it's like English Japanese Differences or something like that. And it basically is like has a blog post per episode. I think they may have stopped in the middle of Frontier. So they have everything through like Adventures, Year 2, and Tamers, which is all we care about now for Tamers. And, you know, like, have like a description of notable moments that are different between the dub and the Japanese version, which is really useful, especially since I would like to watch it all in Japanese, but it's kind of hard to do that and keep track of the different, like, kind of get, whenever I've done that, I get confused about what happened in which version and stuff. So it's kind of a condensed way to get that information and see, like, oh, that thing that seemed really awkward, yeah, that's why it was awkward. But in the dub, Impmon refers to, I think he, like, he's more threatening in convincing Gilmon to come out in episode, whichever episode it is, 7? 8? I think it's 8. Yeah, he's more, like, threatening, but in the Japanese, yeah, he's, like, so in the dub, he says, like, he tries to, like, use logic, right, to say, like, you wouldn't do blank if Takaya told you to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the original Japanese script, he is more in line with what Kalamon says. He says, like, tries to tempt him with fun. He's like, wouldn't it be fun to do this? And he's like, okay, yeah. So, like, I think in the Japanese, there's even less of a distinction on that front, which is interesting, like, which means they're even more similar. And, I mean, obviously, Kalamon wants to just play with kids, and whereas Impmon...
Kalamon's the nice kid, and Impmon's the mean but funny one.
Or at least thinks he's funny, because he's not actually funny. He really thinks he's funny, or at least he gets fun. He, like, laughs at everyone else. Yeah, and even though Impmon doesn't really get his full episode until later, like, he is first appears on screen in Rika's episode, and I think it's not accidental that both Impmon and Rika are kind of different facets of the teenager stereotype. Like, Rika is the, like, the cool, relaxed, rebellious one, whereas Impmon is the, like, loud, rebellious one.
Impmon is the one that sets things on fire.
Literally.
We all knew that teenager.
Impmon wants to watch the world burn.
See, I would not have... If this were all there was to Impmon, I would not enjoy him. I probably knew people like that in high school, and I did not enjoy them. But because of more we get to see with that, there's so much more to enjoy.
I think also as a kid, I did not realize how bad his behavior was. Like, I did think he was funny. And I don't know if that was, like, a later observation that I'm painting on that now, but, like, I don't remember ever being really threatened by Impmon. Probably because he was small and cute. And, you know, you can forgive small, cute things for a lot when actually it's really not forgivable behavior.
Well, yeah, I think there's, like, the stuff he does in the park in episode 8 is, like, you know, it's like he's annoying couples that we've never seen before. And
right. So why do we care? It's funny to break up people.
Yeah. Whereas, like, in episode 9, when he's, you know, annoying Gilmon and, like, not letting him sleep and, you know, like, having seen Graumon go through all this stuff, like, having, like, struggling to find a place where he can be and, like, you know, he finally has a safe place and it's, like, you know, forcing, like, I'm, like, that's really uncomfortable to watch because, like, that's, he's being really obnoxious and really terrible. Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, so Impmon being, like, this, like, cool teenager is not exactly subtle. I think Gilmon episode 9 even says that Takato said that Impmon was a bad influence. And I'm like, yep, that's exactly out of a teen drama. And...
Well, not necessarily even teen, just the formative, is that what I want to say? But just, like, youth in general.
Yeah.
It's not just teenagers.
That's true.
I definitely felt uncomfortable with Impmon watching these episodes, and I was like, why is this Jeff's favorite character?
I did question a little bit. I hope that... I think there's a lot more depth, and one of the facets that I like that I was more present, I think, in episode 5 than in the later ones, and is that... So he comes in with this very strong philosophy that's like, you know, I think that this is not, like, he comes to me like, Digimon don't need their tamers, like, you know, you don't need them to digivolve, and then he's immediately disproven in that episode.
Yes.
But what the show is able to evoke in Impmon later is, it has to do with Impmon's philosophies failing, and that, like, you know, him being very assertive, but also, like, totally wrong, and, like, constantly facing failure, so.
As the most assertive people in life tend to be.
And so now more on to the stuff with Graumon that made me so uncomfortable. Because, I mean, again, when Gilmon is stuck in Graumon mode, both Kalamon and both Impmon are bad influences on him. And they... So when they're interacting with Gilmon, they take very similar approaches to, like, get him out to do stuff. But when they're interacting with Graumon, they've kind of diverged by that point. So Kalamon is still being like, oh, let's have fun, let's go meet up with Takato. But Impmon is like, you're not doing anything, I'm going to actually terrorize you. And I think it makes sense that, like, they started to diverge once, based on how they've been treated. Like, it's Graumon being like, I'm not supposed to hang out with you, you're a bad influence, that causes Impmon to be even more of a bad influence.
Well, just a bad person.
Right, yeah, he's not really being a bad influence, he's just being a bad person. Yeah, he's just...
Calamon's like, leave me alone! I just want to sleep!
I should keep that as a soundboard clip whenever I'm tired. Just have you be like, leave me alone, I want to sleep! Oh, yeah, so, yeah, as we mentioned before, it's pretty uncomfortable to root for him during that, but I still feel like it's pretty common to have villains that are rooted for, because you're like, oh, that villain's really cool, but, like, there's nothing cool about the way that Emon harasses him in this episode.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess it's also, it's too close to real-world behavior to be comfortable. But also, like, Calmon's behavior isn't that much better. Like, on the surface, it's much less directly abusive, and, yeah, I guess it isn't abusive, but it's still not quite beneficial to Gilmon. It's kind of harmful.
It is manipulative.
Right.
Yes.
He's manipulative and he's kind about it, but, like, he's still kind of taking advantage of Grauman's situation. Like, yes. Grauman is in... He needs help from his friends, and both of the people that are... Both of Calamon and Mamachar has, like, independent friends outside of his... I was thinking of, like, Terrymon as, like, his playgroup that his parents set up. but, like, Calamon and Imman are his friends that he meets on his own, and both of them are, like, kind of not good friends with him in that situation. Like, they both... you know, want to use him to do stuff on their own. And he's like, I just need someone to help me go through this de-devolution scenario.
Right.
Yeah. And, but at least Calamon is like, isn't quite, I mean, I guess it's debatable how aware he is. Because if we say that he's manipulative, then he's kind of attaching some awareness to that, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, what he, you can manipulate someone without being aware that you are manipulating them.
That's true.
And he wants something, and he's, like, he's very honest about what he wants, but he also doesn't care. He doesn't care what you want.
Mm-hmm.
He never does.
Yeah.
The manipulation is merely in him being like, I want this.
Well, I think the manipulation is like, and it's also good for you. Here are the reasons why it's good for you, and it's actually not.
I suppose.
Yeah. He doesn't get into that much, but yeah, he does, like, Takato wouldn't want you to be sad, I think, is innocent, but also, like, he said it knowing that it would make Gilmon come play.
Yeah, I guess also, like, Gilmon is so innocent himself and naive that, like, it only works on him because of that.
Yeah.
But at first I thought it was kind of logically inconsistent that, like, why does Gilmon get so abusive only to Grauman? Like, only once Gilmon is a bigger threat does he actually get abusive towards him. But then I was like, it actually makes tons of sense because... I mean, without getting into too many spoilers, like, it makes sense. Like, we've seen a lot of Digimon that are jealous of Digilution, or not a lot. We've seen Renamon until she got it. And so, like, it would totally make sense that, like, Gilmon getting this thing that he doesn't even want, you know, like, doesn't even want anymore. Like, it reminds me of people who, like, you know, who are really rich and, like, bemoan the things they have to go through with lots of money. It's like, we can't empathize for them. And, like, that's totally the situation that Imman's in, where it's like, you know, he probably wants to Digivolve, and, you know, yeah, Graumon's like, yeah, I don't like this. And it's understandable that he can't really empathize with that. Calamon also can't empathize, but for different reasons, more because he's so naive and inexperienced and fickle.
Yeah. I think also, as far as Impmon's concerned, it's not just Digivolution. Like, Digivolution is this, like, magical milestone that, you know, is maturity and stuff, but it's also strength, because he taunts Devidramon.
Devidramon, yeah.
Yeah, he taunts Devidramon when he knows he's safe. He's like, ha, you're so big and powerful, but... And despite the fact that I am alone and small and weak, like, ha, you can't touch me. And I think it was exactly the same with Graumon. He has to prove that he has power over his fate.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, like, how can he justify... Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
Right. He's got to prove he can make it on his own.
I'm a really magical editor for being able to just make it sound like you're saying spoiler instead of actual things that you said. Yeah, so that's all the notes I had for that segment. If you had any more, talk about them.
Mm-mm. We're probably going to have to come back to this later when we know more about Impmon and Calamon.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting, especially because, like, I expect them to diverge even more.
Yeah.
I just see them as children. Like,
they're so
Wow.
And I'm like... You're so mean to the children by calling them so annoying.
They are, though.
They can hear you. Digimon listen to podcasts, too.
Do they? I don't know. Why don't any of them leave us reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah, Calamon.
They're trying to keep secret.
Probably because they can't use their little hands to type.
That would be so cute.
You know, maybe Imp Mom was the one who went through all our iTunes reviews and marked them as not helpful because he was abusing us.
He was asserting his power over an uncaring universe. Speaking of Digivolution and who can and can't have it, they have all had it by now. Yay! Oh. Claps for everybody. But I wanted to talk a bit about, like, how Digivolution is actually working and how the Tamers are understanding it in a way that I feel is not actually accurate at all. So, Henry's we already had, and his was, like, pretty much... Henry's is interesting, I feel, because it happened before he was even a Tamer. And then, like, he had access to it later because it had already happened and it was a little easier for Terriermon to access. And then Rika's, we get, she was in danger. Renamon was hurt. And then through the power of her caring, apparently, Renamon digivolved, which I have a problem with. And do we want to start here with this conversation? Because I don't I think that was a little too pat to be real. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what happened there. I think, does anybody really think Rika didn't care about Renamon before that episode?
Yeah, it felt like way too simplistic of a, like, it reduced some complex and unspoken things to a very simple, I don't think you're real, I don't care about you, to, I care about you, I think you're real. Yeah. I think it was more like she didn't realize quite the extent that Renamon cared on an emotional level. You know, that, like, because it would be pretty blind for Rika to not notice that Renamon cared for her, like, especially in the Gargamon episode.
Yeah.
But I could see her being blind to how much... Like, there's a certain amount of, like, duty and responsibility in just being the Digimon of a Tamer. Mm-hmm. And I think what more happened is that was an expression of it being a very personal connection and not a job, you know, responsibility. That is what got through to her.
Right, right. But then that begs the question, like, if Rika didn't realize how much Renamon cared about her, like, the Digivolution, according to Renamon, happened because Rika suddenly cared about Renamon. So does Rika's caring about Renamon depend on Renamon caring about Rika?
Believe in me who believes in you?
I mean, yeah. There is definitely in all relationships an element of, like, if you don't care about me, then I don't have to care about you.
I think that's logical.
It's much easier to care about somebody who cares about you. But I think the premise, like, the idea that that's what actually happened there is flawed.
So what do you think happened instead?
I think it was a question of honesty. Rika is... we see this, like, Rika is a girl who tells herself a lot of things, like, I'm gonna be the best, and Renamon is gonna be the best. Like, half the times we hear Rika talk, she's not actually talking. And the more she does that, the less it feels like that's the truth. So I think the idea here is that maturity comes from being honest with oneself more in this case. Mm-hmm. It doesn't totally follow with Henry, but I guess they could all have different types of maturity also, which is different than what Adventure and O2 gave us. Because that was all about, like, finding and unlocking your skill, but it was all sort of, like, the same path, you know, if that makes sense. Like, it was very uniform. But here, it's not so much. And then, let's see, Guillemon got some cards.
Guillemon played a children's card game and then digital.
Yeah. And I guess I have less to say about that. But the other, unless you guys do?
Well, a lingering comment I had was just that, like, I think it's unclear to what extent these kids have their digilutions now, so to speak, because, like, we've only seen in the real world, aside from Terriermon's digilution in the flashback, we've only seen them all do it once. So we don't yet know how much is, like, how easy it is to return to that again. And in all the instances, Calamon showed up and...
Right.
That's totally unrelated.
We're going to find out something
that
we don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't think it's not a big spoiler, but if you want to avoid all spoilers, about 30 seconds. But yeah, Calamon's head shines whenever.
Yes.
Whenever they digivolve. And so I don't know how much it's, like, was it his presence that, like, unlocked it for just that one instance? Or, like, are they able to do it on the spot, you know, instantaneously? in the future.
Yeah. It definitely didn't seem like Kalamon had anything intentional to do with it. In Gilmon's one, I just remembered how that one actually went down. Takato, like, forgave Gilmon for stuff Gilmon didn't do.
she's very benevolent of Takato.
Yes. Very, very mature. So, like, there's the element of connection there, but, like, as soon as he did, like, that seemed to flip a switch for Kalamon, rather than Kalamon was, like, witnessing this and saw that it was good. Amen.
You didn't have to make it religious.
I'm in rabbinical school. What do you want from me?
The Church of Kalamon.
He's kind of a cult figure.
He's in rabbinical school. The Pope is visiting.
It's
gotta be religious.
It's gotta be this, the High Holy Days just ended. So I do think it is coming from the Tamers, but, like, maybe there are mechanisms in place that like, both Henry and Takato, for their first time, like, swiped a bunch of cards.
Desperation.
Oh, wait, I guess Rika did too. I'm trying to remember.
No?
She swiped?
She might have swiped, like, one.
She swiped the Snaimon card.
Yeah, I think that happened.
That's
true.
And the ice breath card.
That was on Alamon. That wasn't Dokugumon fight.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, there were two battles in one episode.
Ooh. Crazy!
Oh, but the way Kalamon just walks on screen right before the Digivolution sequence is just, like, so laughable. And he's so casual about it. He's like, oh, what's going on here?
Oh, my head's exploding.
Oh, hey. That Digimon got bigger, and then he just disappears.
That must be what he thinks life is like. You just walk around and people start getting bigger.
He's a very violent creature. He, like, doesn't have any fun until something's fighting. I'm really creeped out by Kalamon.
Mm-hmm. As long as they're not killing him, he's fine with it.
When they're chasing him, he doesn't like it so much.
I like a moment where, like, Takato tries to touch Kalamon or something, and Kalamon just, like, keeps stepping away, like, my space, yo.
That's really interesting. I wonder if they ever actually address that. Like, is there some reason people can't touch Kalamon? Somebody does eventually. But
I think he only does that because Takato actually didn't freak out. Takato's, like, the first one to not freak out at Kalamon.
Oh, the first human.
That doesn't say why Kalamon was shy of Takato.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, beforehand, you had that couple that freaked out when Kalamon started talking. Other times, people just ignore him while they're walking by.
So you think all this rejection made him not want Takato to touch him?
No, he thought he was playing.
But it seemed, like, significant that Kalamon wouldn't touch him. Like, plot significant for some reason.
It also...
But I don't think it
Kalamon
is.
Kalamon actually finally found someone that took an interest in him for... Except, sort of. I don't know. But just, like, someone wanted to play with him, according to him. That's probably what happened, at least.
My thinking when I saw that scene was, like, there's probably something lost in translation here. At least for the dub.
I mean, I thought it was that Kalamon was like, no, you're a tamer. I don't want to be tamed. Because, like, Takato is trying to do the whole, like, hey, you're, like, with my buddy Gilmon. You're, like, his new friend. I know you come from a problematic home, so I'm going to be your, like, cool parent. Like, tries to be your homie.
Well, I don't think that has happened yet, but, yeah, it's definitely the angle where that episode goes.
I'm sticking with the Kalamon just wanted to play with them.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, that's what he is seeing, so that's what he would learn as what playing with people means. But, like, the dub didn't express that well.
I don't know. It didn't. I mean, he doesn't really talk when they first, when he does the jumping back thing. He just thought it was a game at the time. Like, tag.
I just thought, like, the idea of an untouchable force when it comes to Kalamon was interesting. I said the word.
Yes, you did.
I did. I haven't been tallying it either because nobody reminded me.
Yeah, I also forgot.
Yeah, I only noticed you do it, so it's only you. You're the only one.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works.
Yeah. So there's I still like tying the idea of Digivolution to maturity, but there's a difference in this season that didn't occur in Adventure and O2, in that it's that all the champion levels still have the same voice as the rookies. And that changes something. They still have the same voice and they still have the same mannerisms, which we get more of a like child in an adult body not knowing how to use it deal than we ever did. Like, that was just not a thing in Adventure and O2. And, like, you can make an argument that as they continued to, like, get used to evolving, they got better at it, but they didn't suck at it the first time they did the way that all of them except for Renamon do. And, like, it brings real questions, like, Season 3 really asks more about what is it to be a child in the question of growing up than Adventure, either of the Adventure seasons did.
Yeah.
Because Adventure and O2 was about, okay, how do we grow? And it's like, you grow as individuals, you grow as a group. But here it's like, what is the struggle of growing, I guess? Because we do have, like, more parents involved. We have the weird parental relationship between the Tamers and their Digimon, which was not as blatant, I feel, or as it was in Adventure in O2. And it's weird. it makes growing up scary in a way that I don't really approve of in a children's show.
Yeah, like, I mean, a lot of stuff in Adventure also, in the real world at least, took place at night, I guess. And, like, they fought at night and all these things. But just visually, this is so much darker. Like, they always have to come out at night and, like, do weird things. And adults are always sexually harassing each other or something in the park.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like,
I think everything portrayed was supposed to be mutual.
Sure. But, like, there is very much, it is always, like, sexually charged somehow. Like, the biggest difference between the adults and the children right now, aside from, like, the parents and the teachers who display more, like, gender roles than anything else, is just, like, overt sexualization of adults versus kids.
I would actually argue that that's happening with the kids, too, just in a different sense, but we'll get to that.
True, there was that whole Jerry Takato conversation.
Also, I feel like it's not so sexualized, except for like two instances that I think were products of the dub, which were the like police officer that like starts going on about like, I forget what he uses, like fancy words, including, I think he probably talks about like fornication and that kind of thing.
No. He said osculatory, which means kissing.
Oh, okay.
Also, no, I'm thinking of the visualization of the couples in the park. That can't be a dub thing. Yeah. It's like,
that was a real, actual, sexually charged thing.
They talk about like going back to the sofa and that kind of thing. But like everything else was like kissy, romantic. Like, I feel like that was like the, I don't know, like the...
You don't think that's sexually charged?
Yeah, what? I'm very confused.
I'm viewing that as, like, the kind of, like, I'm trying to think how to describe, like a Disney kind of romance where it's,
you
like,
don't think that is sexually charged?
It's also not the vibe I got from any of that.
I mean, it's charged to a degree, but not in a, like, with a full cannon, with a little gun. I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that, like, but I mean, the fact it's, like, in a dark setting, I think paints that more towards a, like, it's not just a, like, it's not just little kisses, it's more than that.
I got a real, like, hooking up in Central Park kind of,
yeah, thing. That's what I got. What are you getting from this, Jeff?
Yeah, there was like one couple in the background in particular that was like, first of all, it looked really weird because it looked like it was like a big age difference, but also like they were kind of small. I couldn't really tell the details too much, but I think it may have been the girl may have been smaller. But yeah, I mean, they were like long held poses that are definitely more than brief kisses. Not entirely clear if it's more than making out, but
I mean, yeah. It doesn't have to be sex to be sexually charged is what I'm getting at. Like, the fact that they were all paired up was, like, in and of itself sexually charged to me.
I suppose.
Like,
yes.
We're going to talk about gender stuff.
Yeah, what does that have to do with Digivolution?
Yeah.
I don't remember how we got here.
You're the one that brought us here.
I was just saying, Astro was talking about the difference of growing up, and then I was like, anything in this is dark and sexual.
Dark and sexual. Yeah, like, that's definitely a thing, and it's complicated.
The only comment that I had prepared to talk about Digivolution mechanics was, it was just the question whether we are supposed to think that the Digimon reaching champion slash adult level at this point, whether that's actually supposed to indicate that they have grown to adulthood, or maybe not adulthood, maybe is a stretch, because, you know, expecting them to like have the maturity of adults while in kids' bodies is like, especially in episode 9 is a big expectation, if they just grown at all towards maturity. And I wasn't really sure if they did, but I was curious what everyone else thought.
I mean, I'm stuck in that mode always, especially after all the discussion we had in towards the end of Adventure and then throughout O2, is that I'm already wired to think of it as like, my expectation is that it represents some kind of growth on the part of the Tamer. But like the way Tamers is treating it is uncomfortable in the least to have that assumption, because none of them are ever like super happy about it except for Cubimon and Rika. And that's because like Renamon kind of already was mature enough. Rika's a brat. but Renamon was ready.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to do with how Asher was like, they are mostly pretending to be like their children in adult bodies at this point.
Yeah, yeah, that does. Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I'll be curious to see though, because like eventually, like in the coming episode, I think they'll be more comfortable in those bodies. Like they'll, you know, have more of a command over. I guess Cubimon didn't really have that problem, but they'll have, you know, like the, you know, they'll be able to digivolve on command. And, you know, I don't think it's actually that long until we get to their ultimate levels, especially compared to other seasons. Mm-hmm. And right, I don't know if by the time that they're comfortable at the champion level, whether that means that they progress either. I don't know.
Well, that's how growing up actually is too. Like you sort of go back and forth and get more comfortable with how things are changing and what you are expected to be able to do. And like maybe half the time you're faking it and you still feel like a kid or feel like a kid in an adult's body. But like with practice, it gets easier to fake.
I don't feel like an adult, and I also don't feel like it matters in the real world. But I guess I don't I don't do a lot of things that people like associate with adulthood.
You buy your own groceries.
I mean, it matters when you're in a situation. Like, if I go home and I go to a party where there are, like, my super younger cousins who are, like, 12 or something, and then there's all, like, my aunts and uncles who are obviously much older than me, like, you feel super awkward. You're like, what? I am an adult to the 12-year-olds, but I don't feel like an adult to the 60-year-olds, like.
I suppose. Yeah, I guess family situations are particularly. I'm like, I always feel like large family gatherings are awkward anyway, so I'm like, I think I just wouldn't. Even without that age divide, I would have trouble finding people to talk with well, but
it's not like that I have issue like talking to people. It's just in situations where you then get deferred to for responsibilities, like, I don't know, setting up a table or something. Like, you're like, am I adult enough? Like, do you expect me to do this? Like, I don't know. Point is, I feel the struggle. So I wanted to talk about, I mean, dreams were very significant in this, so I partially want to talk about dreams, but I also want to talk about the use of jokes. I want to talk about dreams and jokes and how they relate to learning culture as shown in the show and how I think it actually works in real life. So there's a whole episode, Takato and Gilmon talk about dreaming. Takato's like, I love dreaming. Gilmon's like, what's a dream? Is that like when I think of snacks? And Takato's like, no, it's like a world inside your head. Gilmon's like, wait, do you dream? Takato's like, everybody does. Gilmon's like, my dreams are boring then. And it seems to be implying that because Gilmon has very little cultural basis since he was just born, that he can't dream, which I'm pretty sure is not how human babies would work. Like, they would still have dreams.
They just wouldn't remember them.
Yeah, but he wouldn't remember them. And then the antithesis to that is that the jokes in this season, at least sometimes, especially with Gilmon, actually make sense in this way that, like, the joke is only funny because Gilmon doesn't understand the world. Like, when Gilmon and Takato are going to the school for whatever reason in one of the early episodes, Gilmon's like, why am I allowed here today? Takato's like, because it's the weekend. Gilmon's like, weekend? And then Takato's like, on the weekends, nobody's at school. And he's like, but wait, we're here on the weekend, see? And so it's funny because Guillaumon has no conception and we make fun of him for his innocence. And that type of joke, that actually makes sense. It's part of like why, you know, movies like Forrest Gump are endearing to us. Because he's, like, so innocent and sees the world in a different way than we do because we haven't been, like, indoctrinated. They haven't been indoctrinated into whatever. And then, so, like, our ridiculous dialogue draft, I'm like, that's so cool that some of the jokes make sense. But then other times it doesn't really make sense, and that's really disappointing. Like, I don't know. I guess Calamon could know what an earring is, but, like, his joke about the lock on the door being like, oh no, now it has three earrings, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, why would you know what an earring is as opposed to a lock? Like, doesn't...
Well, he's been observing humans.
Some Digimon have earrings too. Like, doesn't Ogremon have some sort of body piercings?
Well, Digimon have weird designs sometimes.
It is true.
I mean, why do Digimon know anything? It's such a big question.
Because they're programmed to do that, I guess.
Alright, I'll accept that one. But there is another one where Guillaumon, something like, he's like, what about Renamon? She thinks her idea of a joke is punching me in the funny bone. And I'm like, why would you know what a funny bone is, Guillaumon?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
that was a good joke.
If you say so. I've just come to accept that and like don't really question it or bemoan it anymore because I'm like, this has been a staple of Digimon for a long time. And I'm actually not sure. I'm not sure if it's a thing that is present in the Japanese version either, or as well. I'd be curious to hear if some of our listeners who watch the Japanese version can tell us. But I assume it's just like, you know, like it's hard to keep a narrative consistency to that and also have jokes.
But it's just so disappointing. It could still be disappointing, Jeffrey. I feel like the Japanese version, perhaps, was more narratively consistent with it.
But I expect there are still occasional instances of the same problem. I'd be curious to hear if people can point out to remember such things.
Right. And I guess the dream thing I get on a level that's like, Guillaumon was created, so how did Takato give him the capacity to dream? Like, I don't know.
Well, there's quite a lot that Takato did not envision of Guillaumon that becomes a reality once Guillaumon is fully formed. It's not like aspects of Guillaumon that he did not think of. Like, did he think about how much bread he would need to eat? I doubt it.
But it's so good because he owns a bakery. It's fine.
It is very convenient. On a side note, like, I really like how they handle food in the season compared to other seasons, because it's not like a plot point where they need to be like, where are you going to get food? And you have to, like, think about the mechanics of food. It's just, like, just visual gags that they throw into, like, because it's kind of fun to watch him eat.
Okay. But my point was that in episode 2, like, Takato doesn't program that Guillaumon needs to eat, or maybe he does do that, I don't know, that he needs to eat bread at least, but, like, he gives Guillaumon the bread, and Guillaumon's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And he's like, you eat it, it tastes good. And Guillaumon's like, okay, I did that, I agree now. So, like, there's still some loose narrative explanation for that.
I guess so, but I just think there's so much to, there's so much complexity to a living, breathing creature that Takato could not have possibly envisioned, that it's, I think that the fact that whether Guillaumon dreams or not is just one of those many aspects of that, you know, like.
Well, then Takato's like, I never heard anybody talk about a Digimon dreaming, and I'm like, yes, because Digimon are not supposed to be creatures that can think for themselves, almost. Like, they are not supposed to break their design limitations.
My takeaway from that statement was just, it seemed like a silly line, because, like, how much has Takato heard of, you know, Digimon's thoughts? You know, like, I feel like the only perspectives he could have heard that from are...
Takato reads fan fiction.
He could have heard that from Terrymon or Renamon. Like, that's not come up. So it's like, you know, I guess maybe it's just a reflection, like, things aren't typically told from the Digimon's point of view. That, like, in the dub especially, he's seen Adventure in 02, and as part of that, he's seen Digimon eating, seen Digimon pooping, but he's not seen Digimon dreaming, because the eating and the pooping are things that the kids have to handle for the Digimon, and the dreaming, yeah, we don't know.
Well, Takato should ask Renamon, and then you should ask Renamon about gender and seeing that she's
so hypocrite. When does the line happen? Because it still hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't.
It must be in the next arc.
Actually, let's talk about gender.
Let's talk about gender.
Zenda.
Oh my god. I'm so, like, mad at Tamers. Just, like, the entirety of it. Like, everything we've watched so far in regards to gender. Just, like, ugh.
Should I start, or do you want to go on?
Wait, I want to start off by saying that there's nothing... These all seem perfectly fine. I don't remember any instances that are causes for concern, and you're probably making it up, and... I'm okay. Not 100% sure whether this is coming across as
a joke. Can I mute you? Can I mute you?
Wait.
Can I just mute you?
I think...
Is that possible?
I think somebody in our comments brought up how Renamon uses, like, sexy, sultry voice language. And I actually wanted to address that, where I'm like, yes, she does do that, which is what makes her a hypocrite if she's like, Digimon don't have gender.
She hasn't said that yet, has she?
Right.
Viscerally remember that.
I think we'll have to see how that plays out, because, like, there are many layers that, like, maybe what the intent that she will mean when we get to it is that they do not have biological sex, and they do have cultural gender, but also there's the added complication of, I don't think Japanese has a distinction between those two terms, so yeah.
I wonder what she says in Japanese at that scene. We'll have to look that up when it comes up, because I really don't remember when that happens at all.
I believe she says something that is just, like, you know, literally translated to either Digimon don't have sex, Digimon don't have gender, because the same word means both.
Oh, that's, like, the end of the series during the...
No.
Yeah?
I remember being, like, in a park.
They were at a restaurant.
No. So that's a different scene.
Wait, which scene are we talking about?
But they do definitely address that there, too. I know what you're talking about. But there's a scene early on where, like, she's in some park and, like, someone asks if Digimon have gender.
Anyway, the point is, Renamon definitely is very patronizing and is, like, says things like, now don't move, good boy, bye-bye, handsome. And Rika does this not in a, like, sexy way, but sort of in a, like, always having to point out that when she's talking to Henry or Takato, or both, that they are, like, little boys and stuff like that. And people, and I know that Rika is cool, and everybody might give some pushback on this, but I think it's very sad that Renamon and Rika have to rely on pointing out the opposite gender, because I think it just means that they are so viscerally aware that they are somehow outsiders by being within.
Yeah, I don't think that is contradictory to finding them cool. Like, it is a frustrating aspect of her and of them.
Sure, but it's like, her being cool does not negate the sexism of her being the, like, only girl.
And she's not the only girl, actually. But right now, she's the only girl that matters in a way. Like, matters narratively at the moment. And, like, that's so annoying. Like,
this
show actually gave us some really cool female characters. But it's so militant about enforcing, like, a girls on this side, boys on this side divide that I just, like, can't deal with any, like, interaction between a boy character and a girl character. It's like, shut up.
Yeah. So my theory about this is that it has become, in this season so far, so blatant and strong in that respect, which maybe we should at some point, once I finish this, go into more detail, like, incidents, because, like, I feel like without having a point out, it might be hard to tell what we're talking about. But I think it's because this is the first time there's been a directly antagonistic relationship like this from the start, that, like, you know, Rika comes in as a antagonistic force instead of them all being friends and they occasionally bickering or whatever. But it's, like, very much Rika versus them, which, you know, like, when you have, like, girl versus boy, the natural thing, I guess, for these dubbers or scriptwriters, or I don't know, maybe both versions, is to call attention to the differences between them, one of the prominent differences being their gender.
I see Rika's, like, belligerence as coming a lot from an already existing, like, boys versus girls mentality that has been forced upon her by her experiences. Like,
it's definitely true. And, like, she definitely seems like in that kind of a position where she has climbed already the top in a field that is not seen as a woman's field. Like, it must have encountered so much sexism that it's a safety mechanism to
see her experience that sexism. It's obnoxious.
Yeah, and so I feel like it's her way of coping with, like, she's like, well, you think you're so cool, I'll show that you're not actually that cool, even though you're a dude or whatever. But no, to Asher's point, I mean, there's this scene in the classroom where they're talking about... Okay, well, this one is where they're talking about how a child or whatever is terrorizing the couples in the park. And the girls are like, this is so upsetting. Like, people are going around terrorizing couples who are kissing. And then the boys are like, very, like, whatever, who cares? Ew, cooties. And it's just like, the default there, to Jeff's point, is just like, the default there is like, the only like, visual outward difference between those groups is their gender. So they're like, we will assign the reasoning of these thoughts to gender. And I'm just like, no.
The show actually takes it a step further. And like, the girls were like, because they were targeting girls or couples kissing, like, it had to be a boy.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, this is... Like, the boys, like, didn't care so much about the targets. They were, like, trying to figure out what cool, mysterious thing could have been happening. Like, aliens or zombies or whatever they ended up deciding. Something stupid. because boys are stupid is the assumption. But, like, from the beginning, we just have this awful, like, no girls allowed, no boys allowed. Like, from the first time we meet Jerry, there's, like, this sense that Takato is fraternizing with the enemy camp. Like... We don't, I mean, Digimon Adventure and O2 are not great about gender, but they don't set that up.
Yeah. And the other God. Thing is, like, Takato's parents are they're very funny, but many of the jokes rely on, like, there's a scene where Takato's dad is taking out the trash or something. So he says, why does Takato never help with lifting the heavy stuff? And then his mom replies, I don't know, why do you never help out with the laundry? And the dad is like, that's different. And the mom's like, of course it is, dear. And it's like, that's funny, but doesn't get... It, like, only proves that there is a gender norm that they subscribe to and that the woman is unhappy about, and the man is like, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Well. Like, you never... Like, the one... There's Takato at some point is like... I guess it was funny. I found it funny because Guillaume was like, are you two going to fight when Takato and Rika confront each other at some point? And Takato's like, what? No, she's a girl and she kicked my butt.
Right? Like, my visceral reaction to that, like, I was so tired of this stuff at this point, was that I almost didn't hear him say, and she'll kick my butt.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
I was just so mad. Like, it's maddening.
But my point is that the dudes never seem particularly angry about any gender differences that are clearly there. It is always, like, the women who are making quips that are come from annoyance.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's good that it acknowledges that women are annoyed, but at the same time, it never shows a resolution to that.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just pushing back because I'm like, does it need to?
Yes.
So there's a difference between, like, the character dynamics on, like, the level of, like, Rika and Jerry, which I agree, like, should not just be left hanging there, but, like, the jokes about, like, the Takato's mom saying, like, the example you gave of, like, her being annoyed that he doesn't do laundry, like, I guess I don't find that, I don't see why that is so offensive. Like, that is definitely a stereotype, and there is definitely the effect on the, like, broader cultural landscape of everyone using those stereotypes reinforces them, and that's not great, but, like, and I can see, like, oh, this is tiring, and, like, this is the same thing we've seen everywhere, but, like, I guess I don't see that I don't see why that is, like, so, why that incident like that would be offensive on a micro scale.
Well, like you just said, like, we are not thinking of it on a micro scale. It keeps happening. That is the problem.
I guess so, but it's also, like...
Yeah, and there's no reason for that to happen. Like, I'm pretty sure that was a dub-only line.
Yeah, I think a lot of the parents' dialogue was, but I guess it's just, like, that seems like a not... It's not the kind of sexism that kind of, like, reinforces that a woman can only do X or Y, or that, you know, men can't cry, or things that are, like, really harmful. I guess it is harmful to be like, oh, the woman is the one who does the chores and always wants, and, like...
Especially since Takato's mom and dad have the same job. They have the same access to the home, because isn't the bakery in their house? Like,
yeah,
there should be an equal distribution of everything in that house. Neither one.
Yeah.
Like, there's no power dynamic in play there.
And I get what Jeff is saying, but, like, it is saying, it's like, men take out the trash, women do laundry. I don't think we've seen Takato's dad cook at all. It's always the mom.
Oh, yeah.
And just, like, there's another joke at some other point that they make where, like, Takato comes home and is like, Mom, Dad, why are girls crazy after having talked to Jerry?
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
And then the mom's like, they're not. Their husbands make them that way. And I'm just like, yes. Ugh, please stop. with everything.
That, I mean, sure happened.
I definitely groaned to that, but then, like, when I thought about, I couldn't replace what I found annoying with that, and upon further inspection, my conclusion was kind of that, like, it's kind of just a cheap shot at, like, boys are frustrated by girls, girls are frustrated by boys, like, I couldn't find the harm beyond that.
No, but that's what's bothering me, personally, is that there is this antagonistic setup between boys and girls, like, every interaction.
Like, they can never be in harmony. And again, Takato's dad does not respond to that with any... Or no, he actually does. He's like, actually, it's the other way around. And it's like, okay, so you can just... Like, they never agree when it comes to gender politics, ever.
Yeah, I guess it is not a great picture to portray, you know, genders as always being at odds and always being at war. And my theory, again, like my extension of my theory before, is that this will become less relevant when there is less, when Rika is more a part of the team and Jerry's less of an outsider.
But then what happens is we get like three more dudes.
Yeah.
And like, I liked Ryo as a kid. But when we get there, I have a feeling I'm going to really hate everything he stands for.
That's, I worry about that too. Yeah, so I guess my theory is that the way the issues with gender leak out now will be patched up and replaced with completely different reasons to be in love with it. it's like a boat, like a sinking ship, and like you patch up one thing and then like start leaking somewhere else. And...
Yeah, great.
And that's how it is in the real world too. Woo!
But then there's even... Do you want me to mention the Growmon line, Asher?
Yeah, yeah.
Growmon.
Okay, in the last episode, when they're like, we're going to paint Growmon to blend in with camouflage, Takata's like, no, Growmon, stop like being hurt or whatever. We're just going to paint you, like putting on makeup. And Growmon's like, that sounds even more painful. And I'm like, what? Growmon, why did you say this?
Why would Growmon know what makeup is? Exactly. Like, why does he already have this, like, antagonism towards something coded as feminine?
Yeah.
Like, what is the difference between makeup and paint that he should have this anger?
So, I thought that was a bad joke about the word paint and pain, that paint sounds like pain.
Sometimes, Jeff, like, I know you're trying to, like, diffuse our anger here, but I think also the fact that like that you don't automatically pick up on this is a sign that you haven't had to put up with misogyny.
Yeah,
it's never aimed at you. So like
I've definitely done the Rika thing of being like, you know what, fine, I'm the only girl, then I'm gonna make fun of you for being a boy thing.
I guess what I was trying to say about like the pain thing wasn't that like, and so there is no valid, like, I think it's just as valid to read that, because like I think that was a bad joke. If they're going for pain, that it was a bad joke and comes off like the much more obvious interpretation is the one that like makeup sounds painful. And I wasn't trying to like invalidate that view either, that like I was trying to explain that like, it was a stupid joke that ended up, I think it was a stupid joke that ended up making a more offensive and silly, like, yeah, silly and offensive sexist thing.
I think that your reading of that does make it worse sexist, like in a sexism way.
That you wouldn't even realize actually.
accidentally
making the connection between makeup and pain.
Yeah.
I did not even pick up that like paint and pain were supposed to be.
Yeah, I didn't either. But like, that there would be more pain in the word that doesn't have the word pain in it because it's makeup makes it worse.
Well, so I was directly thinking that because in this blog comparing the Japanese script to the dub script mentioned that in the original Growmon mistakes painting for something that's painful. So I was trying, I'm kind of confused by that because they don't mention what the line was. And it seemed like paint and pain that I was trying to figure out if that's what the original joke was, but...
I mean, they could have pulled that off.
They could, if they just didn't mention makeup, being like, just...
Yeah, they just didn't add the simile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So silly, dub writers.
I mean, there's also it's also in this arc that we see, like, kind of the other side of that, which is, like, Susie dressing up Tarryman and that being seen as, like...
Yeah,
or not Tarryman, like, what Susie Calamon. Would do to Calamon and, like... That'd be terrible, like, oh god, no. And I think that was also really interesting from a dub versus original Japanese version perspective, because in the dub, I think Kaido's conclusion is she's crazy, that wouldn't work. but actually in the I can't remember Susie's Japanese name. It's Xiao Cheng. Not sure if I pronounced that right, but yeah, I'm not sure how that's abbreviated either. Maybe it's abbreviated to Xiao. I'm not sure. But anyway, Takato's reaction to that same scene in Japanese is like, yes, that'll do. It's like the complete opposite reaction. And I don't know exactly what happens. There must be some line after that then that makes them not pursue finding her as a tamer, but that's particularly frustrating.
I mean, it was framed in a very gendered way from the start, because Henry was like, you know, maybe we should find a girl, and then, like, the sister becomes the stand-in for all girls somehow.
Yeah.
Even though that's very clearly not true, because you have Rika.
Okay, but I don't think any of them would want to leave Kalamon with Rika.
Right, but I'm saying, like,
yeah.
There's very obviously not be like, yes, one person represents all of gender.
Right.
Right. He does also consider Jerry for, like, a hot second.
That's true. But the reason for not considering Jerry is pretty silly. It's like, she'd be scared. Like, we see no inclination that Jerry would be scared by such things. Also, earlier in the episode, Jerry's the one who's, like, investigating the shadow that turns out to be Kalamon. Like,
I mean, she did get scared.
But she was scared.
Okay, she was. I suppose. But
I think if she saw him, she wouldn't be scared. I think Takato doesn't know Jerry very well. Because he doesn't talk to girls!
I don't think we or Takato know that she's a Digimon fangirl yet. So she'd be like, what's this thing? Whereas, like, an actual pick, Digimon, oh my god, Digimon.
Yeah, I also didn't know she was a Digimon fangirl, so thanks for that, Jeff.
Spoiler.
She's not really.
Isn't she?
No.
I think it's discussed in the next set of episodes.
She only becomes interested after spoilers.
It's likely that I'm misremembering.
You are.
It's weird how, like, I definitely think that the fact that Rika is on opposing side is the source of more of these kind of jokes that are considered to be harmless and just general, like, Renamon's dialogue while fighting and that kind of stuff. But it's weird how and I also think it makes sense in the school, because this is really the first time we've seen the kids really in their natural school habitat, which it kind of makes sense that would be written to be very gendered, because I think it's like the kind of age where kids start to do that. It's not the coolest thing to portray, but it is kind of what happens. But it's weird how it leaks into the stuff like Takata's parents, just like there's no reason for them to be so gendered, unless, like, you know, the dub writers are on that thought process from other situations,
which they are.
we saw tons of the kids in Adventure 02 at school, but never really like hanging out in the classroom. I don't know if we saw their classroom like once or twice. But, like, never saw the kids.
In a classroom, but never with, like, classmates.
Really. Yeah. They're the only ones in the school.
Yeah. Please tell us what that is, Jeffrey.
It's our rapid-fire general comments that didn't fit into any other section that we wanted to address, but didn't fit anywhere. And Ashley needs me to point out that I stole the name from another round.
Yeah.
For some reason. And even though Pew 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 is totally a thing people say, and they stole it from the general consciousness. So, I should have, maybe this could have fit into the gender discussion, but you know the scene where Takato and Rika are talking, and Takato keeps mentioning the dream he had of her, and she keeps being really offended by it, and she, like, I guess it's like he says, like, he makes, like, you're my dream girl, ha ha ha, and runs off, and it's, like, ridiculous, and then she... After he leaves, she comes out and is like, if you ever mention that dream again, I'll kick you, and does, like, the kick.
Yeah, that
and
kick is, like, ridiculous.
It's like, why is she... I can understand why she's annoyed by, like, that he says, like, you're my dream girl, because, like, it's stupid. But to be like, don't mention that dream, like, it's just... It's super weird.
I'm okay with that. Because, like, if he mentioned it again, like, in mixed company, like, she would bear the brunt of that teasing.
That's true.
And it's not her fault. It's not her dream.
Yeah. I understand her anger at his constantly bringing up the dream. I just thought her kick was insanely silly.
Well, so anyway, So, yeah, you do raise good points. Like, it does make sense. But in the original Japanese version, what she's mad about is that he refers to her as Yuki-chan. And she's really mad that he said Chan. So, I thought that made more sense, but you do raise good points that it makes some sense.
I'm pretty sure the dream thing makes sense.
I think the Chan thing makes more sense, but yeah.
Yeah, honorifics are a very big deal.
Yeah, it must be really tough to, like, translate. I mean, not that Digimon ever goes for, like, you know, tries to make really close translations, but, yeah, they often result in situations that are really hard to translate if you are not directly addressing their presence. Now on to the second pew. Of,
are there only three pews?
No, there are lots. There are endless pews. Pew. Also, this maybe should have gone in the devolution mechanics thing. But like, I found the whole, like, the whole idea of trying to force Growlmon to de-digivolve kind of weird and unsettling. Because
you not for the Gargomon?
For Gargomon, it made more sense because it was like, you know, he was presenting a very dangerous threat, and all they did was kind of wait. And they presented, like, how are you going to fix this? Okay, let's wait. And then it was resolved. Whereas this is like, they're waiting and like, we need to fix this. And like, kept pounding and like, we need to fix this kind of thing. And it's like that, we need to fix that attitude that I'm like, So in Adventure in Zero Two, like, very easiest for us to like think of Digivolution as this kind of constant progress. And I think we even differentiate from Pokemon. Like, oh, in Pokemon, they like don't want their Pokemon to evolve because they want to stay in the same place and not really grow up. But like in Digimon, they're always progressing, getting bigger and stronger. But like, that's totally, like, I don't know, it's kind of critical. So you totally get to have our cake and eat it too, because they get to grow and get bigger and better while also staying small and convenient. And being their cute little rookie or in training form, depending on the season. Mm-hmm. And so, like, once it comes to this and it's like, you know, it's actually inconvenient now. It's like that message of, like, you've grown, now go back. Go back to how you were.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And, yeah, it's like the message is how to fix it instead of how to live with it. Which, yeah, no one, it's not like any viewer is in a situation where they have grown 50 feet and have to figure out how to live with a bias 50 feet taller. But like, people grow like a couple inches overnight, and then it's like, I don't know, man, that's crazy. People don't grow that many inches overnight, right? That's not possible. Where would those bones even come from? But people do grow fast and then have to deal with the consequences. And yeah, I don't know, like, figuring out how to live with that instead of how to, but I guess that's kind of like over the course of the episode, they start off, how do we fix it? And then like the last thing they stumble on is how to live with it, is how to disguise him instead of how to make him revert.
Right, but then that fails and they cry and
right,
pathetic fallacy happens.
Well, I mean, I joked about pathetic fallacy being the reason, but I think it's, I mean, that is the narrative reason, but within the rules of the universe, I think it's more that, you know, it was just triggered randomly, and that, like, things, you have to wait for them to come naturally, and, you know, like, if you just keep trying to force it, it might never happen, or it's not going to happen on that timetable. And that thing, like, applies to lots of things in life. Like, if you're like, I really need to grow tall, or, like, you're not going to be able, there's not really much you can do to affect that. Or, like, I really need to find a partner. Well, I guess there are tons of things you can do to, like, facilitate that, but you can't force that to happen right at some particular point. You have to, like, kind of give yourself up to fate to some degree.
Okay.
And I thought the pathetic fallacy was, aside from the, like, joking about, I don't know, it wasn't really that much of a joke in the dub, it seemed like it was pretty meant to be played straight, was the, like, with the rainbow being the cause. But aside from that, the rest of the pathetic fallacy with, like, and for those who don't know, pathetic fallacy is just the literary device of the, what is the strict definition? Because it's not just weather. It's just like this.
When the environment reflects your inner, whatever, emotional thing. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was clever because there was a narrative reason for the environment reflecting and both reflecting and causing their emotions. Like, it's raining, which gives them a reason for them to be upset to match the rain. But I was curious if, like, there's a term for that, because it's not quite the environment reflecting their emotions. It's the environment causing their emotions, which then reflect. Like, it's kind of different.
I think it was still more pathetic fallacy than anything. It's like, Takato was going to cry anyway.
You just think that because you think Takato cried all the time.
Well, am I wrong?
He kind of does.
Okay, so he does cry a lot, but also, can we appreciate that it's, like, cool that he cries? That, like, it's not, he, like, boys can't cry kind of thing?
Oh, I don't think, I don't have a problem with it because he's a boy. I have a problem with it because, like, he jumps to that conclusion over nothing constantly.
Yeah, totally. Okay. No, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you have a problem that he cries, but also on another level, can we appreciate that he cries?
Yes, because he's a boy. I do.
I mean, it's the same thing with Gilmon, like, the arc being Takato says 5 times, don't leave. Gilmon's like, okay, and he leaves, and Takato gets mad, and Takato cries. Like, that is a whole part of the cycle that is getting annoying at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I understand Takato crying out of frustration also. Just
nothing changes.
God. But also, like, he doesn't learn anything ever.
Yeah. It's also, like, I was like, this happens so many times. Like, there has to be a point to it, right? And I'm not sure. I'm hoping it ties into some larger theme later on or something.
I'm not sure it does.
Yeah.
I will say I got really sad, I guess, in episode 8, where when before Guillaumon digivolves, he's trapped by, who is it, Devidramon?
Mm-hmm.
And Takato's like, Guillaumon, you have to get up. And Guillaumon's just like, I'm trying. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sad right now.
Yeah.
And then they keep talking, and I'm like, I'm just so touched by this.
This is a rare display of emotion right now, actually.
I know. I don't have emotions.
Hypnos. Hypnos, hypnos, hypnos. We've both seen so little of them, but also, like, started to get some glimpse into what's going on there. Yamaki being frustrated that his superiors don't understand the internet / Digimon.
We all feel you, Yamaki. Yeah.
I like how they basically are the NSA. Like,
yeah.
They explicitly mention that.
But they don't mention the NSA, do they? They just mention surveillance.
Surveillance and, like, people's data and stuff.
Yep.
But this is, yeah, like, 2001.
Yeah, I was like, this is very relevant to the us of now, actually.
Yeah, I didn't know how much to be like, oh my god, this is prescient. Is prescient the right word? Like yes. When you predict something. It sounds like I'm saying precious. Anyway, it's very prescient. But also, it's not like this is a new thing. Like, this is something that's been predicted in sci-fi as far back as 1984.
Oh, earlier than that, dude.
Well,
1984 was written in 1948.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Correct.
I
guess.
But also, I think before that, it was
a thing. Oh, okay.
But I can't think of anything. Like, Cold War literature definitely brought it to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, but it's just, I think we were all like, oh, sure, like, that could happen, blah, blah, blah. We had prime examples of, like, in World War, or, like, yeah, during the Cold War, of, like, Russia spying on all the East Germans or whatever. But now for America, it's, like, definitely.
Yeah, it wasn't a concern for American citizens. And I guess I have to admit ignorance. Like, I'm not sure how this plays out differently for people in other countries. Like, maybe this is something that they have had to be concerned with for longer. Or maybe that, you know, like, they're like, this
I mean,
is
they've had to deal, they've had to worry about the NSA spying on them as well.
Right, like, that's the thing. The betrayal of trust that has happened to Americans is, like, you're supposed to spy on everyone else, not us. So, like, yeah. That
yeah.
Means, like, other people have had to worry about it. But, like, I don't know. I don't know what it's like for other domestic surveillance agencies. Another aspect that's interesting, that in the Japanese version, the dialogue's slightly different. And what do they say? They say that, in the English dub, they say, Yamaki says that they have to survey everyone to be able to, like, get anything, which, like, makes sense. Like, you need to get, like, you, anyway, in the Japanese version, he says they only intercept criminal, like, data about criminal activities, which doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah. What you do is you get all the stuff and then you, like, filter it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So, like, the dub, that's a nice change for the dub. And it may have been, like, in the context of Japan, like, the idea of getting everyone's data is, like, ridiculous. I don't know, maybe.
But still doesn't make sense.
No. But the other thing is that in the Japanese version, Yamaki explicitly says, like, so the guy's, like, questioning, like, this seems like too much power. And then he's like, we're actually behind other countries. So.
Oh.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out, like, because it seemed like the Yamaki situation, Hypnos situation seems contradictory, and I think I've parsed it to, I think I've made sense of it, and it's that, like, his superiors want them, like, they're not being effective, they haven't actually stopped anything from bioemerging, and the higher-up officials are saying, like, things are starting to leak out, and it makes us look bad for having this program, like, it draws attention mm-hmm. to the program. So you need to stop it. You need to do something more to stop it. But the tools that Yamaki has at his disposal to stop it are things that have not been approved by the higher-ups and will not be approved by the higher-ups. So he's, as they say, stuck between a rock and a hard place. And, like, so he eventually, you know, like, when he uses Yugoth in the Guillaumon disappearing episode, is doing that without authorization, and it works, but, you know, causes Riley to be upset at him or whatever.
It works, but he also loses data that could have helped them later on.
True. And also, we may have, and now we'll never find out what that white thing was, I think. I'm not sure that's ever explained.
I think it has something to do with another plot point.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm pretty sure they bring it up again.
I'm hoping. But yeah, so he seems slightly sympathetic now, but I mean, I guess we'll see more of him as it goes on.
This is so new to me. I have so many unanswered questions.
Why gender?
Okay. How are there no cameras or something, or generally humans, who see this giant dinosaur?
Right.
Even the not giant dinosaur is in a public park, in a publicly visible part of the park.
You know, I'm willing to believe people somehow think that that is a person dressed up in a suit.
While walking around.
Yes.
Right.
Walking
around in a way that does not really seem human.
I'm willing to buy that. I am not willing to buy that nobody points out the giant dinosaur.
Well, okay, when it's in the park sitting there and they're using it as a slide, it's like, okay, that could be some weird...
No, I mean like at night when they had that big fight, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What? Nobody came and swarmed and that there were like buildings being destroyed by giant monsters? Like, it's taken the opposite stance of Adventure, where Adventure was like, we need to point it out every time on the news, and now it's like radio silence.
I mean, we do like a offhand comment that like Hypnos is responsible for covering up sub situations with no detail, sure, like what they can actually do to do that.
Yeah. It's also, you are not shown that any humans are doing anything to try to record it that would need to be covered up.
Yeah, that is one aspect that we see in Adventure, which I appreciate and miss here, which is like seeing news reports and stuff about this stuff going on.
How did Graumon climb up onto Takato's patio thing without destroying anything?
I thought he was on the floor. I thought he was on the ground.
No.
Second floor balcony.
Yeah.
He was on the balcony, but he's tall enough to, his head would just be at the balcony.
Well, he was on the balcony. I will take a picture of it for you.
That doesn't make sense. Why did Takato leave Graumon in that shrine? Like, wouldn't people go to that shrine? I don't understand. And also, isn't leaving a dinosaur that has a tendency to destroy things and build tunnels through things next to a, like, sacred shrine that people would definitely notice if it was torn up be really problematic? Like,
I guess it was a forgotten shrine.
Mm.
There are tons of abandoned shrines.
Mm.
It wasn't abandoned. It was just not busy at the time.
Wait, no one was there at the time, but, like, presumably they'd be there in the morning, unless it's abandoned. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's also a school night, I think.
So, don't, like, not students go to shrines?
Probably. Not every day.
Also, like, why, when Calumon convinces him to leave the shrine, doesn't he just go back? That's never considered as a viable option once Graumon shows up at Takato's house. He could just walk back. Instead, he wakes up Henry.
Oh, that shrine. Oh, okay. I was thinking of something else. Never mind.
Oh.
Okay. Because, see, I thought he left Graumon at Rika's house, actually.
Oh. Yeah, no.
Rika's house is just a Japanese.
It's a Japanese house. I wasn't looking at it very closely, but I was like, where are they?
Do they ever explain why Riley, and I can't remember the other girl, what's the other woman's name? Andrew?
Do we know her name yet?
I just totally forgot.
I said that Andrew liked them, so... Oh, I think we did learn Riley's name in this episode.
We learned Riley's name in one of these episodes. But
also, Riley does look a lot like Yuli.
She has Yuli's voice, yeah.
Yeah, no, but she looks like Yuli as well.
Yeah, that's true.
It is Riley.
It's Hallie.
Hmm. But why do they... What is with the weird chairs that they sit on that rotate and, like, they're, like, boom arms? Like, but why?
Yeah, what is the point? And, like, what technology makes that possible? Why did they spend all this money on these chairs and not on, like, programs that actually work?
So I'm guessing it's to, like, get better perspectives on the, like, dome thing they're in, but why not
why
just...
do they have that and just,
right.
Like...
They just use software to zoom in, like...
Aren't they wearing, like, some weird VR technology?
Yeah... Yeah.
Oh, so they're in VR and they need the arms to move them around inside the virtual environment. That makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. I was kidding.
Okay.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, it effectively looks cool.
Sure, it looks cool. It has no practical purpose at all in any way.
And it is entertaining to think of how ridiculous it is, so it serves two purposes. This is so new to me. I have so many unanswered ridiculous dialogue drafts.
No. Ridiculous dialogue draft, where we each go around and pick our top two funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the episodes.
This isn't even in the document. Where are you just have it memorized?
I just have it memorized. I've got it memorized.
No, you're not allowed to say that. Only I can say that. Where is it?
Got it memorized?
Yes.
You're filthy.
Whose line was that?
Axel's.
Oh.
Anyway, we named it thusly because Jeffrey thinks that it is like a sports draft. However, it is in fact not.
At least I don't say thusly.
Thusly.
Okay, this is, episode 6.
Oh.
Okay.
Fight between Dokugumon and Renamon.
Oh.
Dokugumon says,
"Perfect! I was just thinking about what to do for dinner.
Eat dirt.
Oh, you're spicy too."
That was mine. You took it!
I had none written down from episode 6.
I think I only had one or something.
I didn't write down a whole bunch.
Actually, you only need two.
I guess too bad.
Oh man, I found more gender things. Do you you guys know that I don't actually look at my notes when I do this? It's kind of obvious, I think. Oh, okay. All right. This is from episode 9, and it's a complete throwaway. It's just, there's a couple passing through, I guess, the park. I don't even remember where this was. And the guy says,
"But honey, it's just a toupee."
"Yes, but you wear it on your chest."
That conversation was very strange.
I missed that, apparently.
It comes up again later.
It comes up again later, yeah.
She's talking with her friends.
It comes up later? Seriously?
In this episode, yeah.
It does?
Wait, which episode was this?
She's walking with, like, another lady, and then she's like, "And he wears it on his chest, ha 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 ha." And then she, like, her friend turns to Henry and is like, "Oh, look, a little boy that plays with dolls, that's cute."
Oh,
there was so
the
much
that?
Gender that we didn't bring up.
Yeah. We could keep going with the gender. I mean,
we
really.
We could keep going forever. Like, gender episode. But then I would have to actually take good notes. Instead of relying on Ashley.
I wrote down all of them.
I did not, because there were too many. Okay. Ash. No.
Yes,
Jeff.
Oh, okay. Mine will also provoke a gender discussion. Possibly. It's not so much a gender thing. Anyway, it's from episode 5, and it was alluded to before, but I don't think enough. I think it can still claim it. I don't think we can talk about it in too much detail. And it's when Calamon's trying to get in the shed, and he sees the locks on the door, and he's like,
"There's 3 door earrings. This thing wears way too much jewelry. Who's it trying to impress?"
And yeah, I think, like, referring to them as door earrings is the best artifact of the Digimon dub.
I agree. That was pretty stellar.
However, and I think it's funny to say who's trying to impress, but it is slightly problematic to assume that jewelry only exists to impress, and that if someone wears a bunch of jewelry, they are being vain, and yeah. That's kind of a, I might be reaching too far for that, but.
Yeah.
I mean.
I think it's a bad idea to, like, this is really abstract. You know, if you were, like, looking at an actual person and being like, "Oh, they're just, you know, like, they're really vain because they have lots of jewelry." If it was something like that, I'd be like, "Oh, okay, that's really problematic. This is, like, so abstract that it's not quite big of a deal."
Right.
Anyway, it's my turn. I will go with a non-gendered quote from Takato's mom and dad. I believe it is when they are talking about how Takato is not there yet. And it's very late, so they're becoming concerned about it. But then they're like,
"But since he's not here, let's eat the ice cream we saved for dessert and tell him it melted."
I already ate it.
I wrote that one down, too. I was like, I really like Takato's parents. They are some really stellar parents.
And then when they go to try to find him later, they're like, "Takato!
We bought more ice cream! And then they never address it again. Like, where is the stern talking to this kid deserves?
He deserves ice cream, Asher. Ice cream. Anyway, Andrew.
I would not be okay with my kid staying up all night playing with dinosaurs.
They don't know what he's doing.
Even better.
That's even, yeah.
Anyway, Andrew.
Oh, God. There's so many. It might end up being one of the Renamon quotes again. Okay, this is episode 6 when it's the fight between Renamon and Alamon. So Renamon makes this really, really odd quip. Okay, so in this, Renamon says,
"I think you need a cold shower."
"How is this possible? I always hated the Ice Age!"
I always find cold shower jokes confusing because I've never understood the sexual innuendo implied by them.
You take a shower after you do it. That's really
Thanks,
it.
Thanks,
Is that
Andrew.
It? But, like, it's, like, a cold... No, but, like, specifically cold shower is, like, I think it's supposed to be a thing that, like, represses sexual urges.
Yes.
Because it's cold.
Yes.
But why would that... Is it that... I don't know, I guess... Maybe I do know the answer, because I just follow two answers now. But I thought there was also something that, like, it represses, but also... I don't know. Why does cold things...
It implies that you're...
It's a slang term, okay?
You know what, Jeff? Just like, look it up online. I'm not...
I didn't know that this joke was sexual. I'm pretty sure it's not.
I'm pretty sure it's not either, but, like...
I had to go there.
An experience in middle school where, like, my friends made fun of me for not understanding that cold shower...
In middle school?
Was... Yeah, in middle school. That cold shower was, like, did have, like, saying that someone needed a cold shower meant something about their sexual, like, about their sexual desire. So, like, every time it comes up, like, I am, like, extra sensitive to that.
Hmm.
But yes, middle school.
Middle schoolers.
Yeah. Probably 7th grade. All right, my turn?
Yep.
Yes.
So, this is from episode 8. And this is with the police officer. And I really wish I had just, like, taken everything the police officer said.
I have everything just, that... Like, I have everything.
I am it to me. Because I only got a line because he was speaking so quickly.
Really?
Was he Edamon's voice, or did I just make that up?
Oh my god, I think you're right.
I don't know. He might have been. Okay, the cop says...
I say, boy, are you the one?
Yeah, the one?
The one interrupting the progress of human courtship.
I don't know.
Boy, are you or are you not interfering with the osculatory activities of consenting adults?
You spelled that wrong, Andrew.
I didn't write this.
Well, they spelled it wrong, because that's not what it means. An oscillating fan is a fan that... An osculatory means related to kissing.
I got this off the Digimon Wiki.
They are incorrect and should be corrected.
Like, it's one of the fan... created scripts.
So this is in episode 7, and Takata, so it's, I guess it's before the ice cream joke, when Takata's parents are waiting and trying to get worried, but Takata's mom says,
oh, we were the same way when we were kids, always running around, playing, losing track of time.
I vaguely remember. That was about the time the dinosaurs died off, right?
Oh, stop. We're not that old.
I was like, that is too far, Doug, because...
Oh my god, like, do you know how to write realistic characters? Like, this is not how anyone talks.
Actually, members of my family speak like that, yes.
Sure, I've heard that, and also they were just going for the fact that in the scene before, Guillaumon had disappeared, I'm pretty sure.
I guess so, but, like, sure, and so, like, you get, like, kids who are like, haha, dinosaur, they mentioned dinosaur, but they don't know, that's funny, but it's just, like, no one, like, the mom's response is really what puts it over the edge. Like, the dad saying, I'm like, haha, that's a funny joke. But the mom being like, we're not that old. Like, her treating it like it's a serious comment. And I'm just like,
I see nothing wrong with this dialogue.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Except for the part that it was too on the nose. Because
it was so too on the nose. Oh, you mean for different reasons.
Anyway, it's my turn. And I'm going to go with episode 7 quote as well. I guess this is just Guillaumon talking to Takata at some point. I tweeted this quote because it is amazing. And Guillaumon says,
Calumon told me that being scared is pointless. It's kind of like trying to ice skate on sausages.
And this is now, forever and always, will be an amazing metaphor for life.
That is a pretty amazing metaphor.
Wait, Ashley, did you finish the Another Round episode? Oh, I wish you had so you could pull up actual... the thing that quote immediately made me think of was this latest episode of Another Round, which, when you hear this, will be the second latest. But anyway...
It already is. There's already another one.
Are they coming on Tuesdays?
There was an episode 25 in my thing when I looked.
Oh, then I guess... Then you're way behind. Okay, then I don't think of the latest episode, I'm pretty sure. Oh. And they do a segment where one of them... I can't remember. I think it's supposed to be Southern phrases. And... they're, like, ridiculous. The one that I can remember is as confused as a fart in a fan factory. It's, like, an actual phrase that people say. And, yeah. What is the Calumon line? Or the Guillaumon line?
Like, ice skating on sausages.
Yeah, that seems like similar vein. Also, I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be something that Calumon said to Guillaumon, or that Guillaumon came up as on his own.
Oh, Calumon said it.
Yeah.
To Guillaumon, and then Guillaumon repeats
it. To Guillaumon, yes.
Terminal Judgment. Someone has to react first.
Silence.
Episode 5.
episode 5, which was the Calamon 101 episode, right?
It's the one with all the dreaming.
I feel like after our discussion, I've come off more negative to these episodes than I was when I wrote my reactions down. I gave it a 3.5.
That is also how I felt. I also gave it a 3.5.
Really?
This is the one that was chock full of dreams. Chock. Ha ha.
Wow. No. It also had a really really joke-filled dub script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I didn't rate the episodes as I went along, but looking at the summary now, I'd probably give it a 2, and that's probably because I personally find Calamon really annoying, and I always have. Just deeply, deeply annoying.
I hope that changes as the series goes on.
I don't think it will, because I don't remember it happening.
Mm. Andrew?
I seem to be nicer than a lot of people to these episodes, but I gave this one a 3 because other than introducing Calamon to the children, it doesn't really do much in terms of plot.
Yeah.
Jeff and I gave it a 3.5. We're the nice ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, but whatever.
He's nicer than me, is what he's saying.
Clearly.
And then episode 6 was the Eureka 101 episode. And I gave it a 3.5 Guillemon breads.
I also gave it a 3.5 Guillemon breads.
I had a lot of hopes for Rika's backstory and main instruction episode, which is did not live up to, but it's still a lot of Rika's basic characterization is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll give that one a 3.5 also.
I actually gave that one a 4, and it might have been higher before we had the conversation about the episode.
And actually, you gave it 3.5?
I initially gave it a 4, but now I gave it a 3.5.
And then episode 7 was the disappearance of Guillemon, right?
Yes.
And I gave this a 3. I
gave it a 4.
I also gave it a 4.
Well, I will also give it a 3.
Well, you're all fools.
I mean, a lot of these episodes, like, I enjoy the slow burn on the general characterization that we get from the episodic storylines not being that riveting, but the, you know, just the serialized exposure to the cast. And I enjoy that, but it doesn't really stand out much, and so that's why I'm like, okay, meh. And episode 8 was the Inbound introduction episode and Guillemon's Digivolution. I gave it a 4.
I gave it a 3.
Actually, you're not saying blank out of 5. You're not, like, doing the dramatic thing anymore.
If you take out the pause, it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's still kind of a pause. I mean, no, what I made fun of you for is being like, 3 out of 5. You can still say 3 out of 5.
No, it's not how it goes.
I know I just watched this episode today, but I have, like, forgotten how I felt about it.
Graumon.
Yeah, I mean, I know what happened, but I don't remember caring very much.
That's why I write down things as soon as I, because I'm like, I know I'm going to forget.
Well, I gave it a 3.5.
Yeah, I'll give it that too. Why not? The only note I actually have written down for this episode is the police officer.
Wow. So he elevates the episode.
Yeah. Oh, I think I was, like, really uncomfortable with a lot of stuff in this episode. So actually, I will give this a 3.
Hmm. And then the episode 9 is the last episode for this arc. And it is the Graumon trying to de-digivolve episode. I suspect people are going to rate lowly, rate low. I gave it a 4, though.
I gave it a 2.
2.5.
I actually gave it a 4.5 because it's, like, it's a strange episode. Like, I don't think I've seen anything like it in another show.
Yeah, I also appreciate it on the fact that it's very different from Digimon and just anything.
Other action anime.
Yeah.
For kids.
And I also really liked, like, a lot of the discussion I had earlier about the differences between Mon and Calamon come from this episode. So, yeah. As much as, like, it made me uncomfortable to see my favorite character being an obnoxious jerk, that gave me a lot to think about. So now we need to try to come to a decision about the arc as a whole. So if everyone has something in mind, we're going to try, once I hit 0, to say the rating. Everyone ready?
Wait, what?
So I'm going to count down from 3. When I say 0, we all shout out. Not shout, but, like, say.
A rating for the whole arc?
Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Okay.
Is everyone else ready?
Yeah.
Well, you're just you.
I speak for the trees.
The trees?
I'm the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
Andrew.
Go.
I'm ready.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. 3.5. So the question is, can we bully Andrew into a 3?
Yes.
Can we kusama him?
Andrew,
I don't go vote with the flow.
The atmosphere.
The atmosphere does not affect me.
Andrew.
We bullied you last episode.
You did?
I think so.
I think
the fact that we are like telling him we're bullying him is making him resistant when otherwise he would have no resistance.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
I am Impmon. I don't conform to anything.
Well, Impmon actually has quite a bit of conforming based on what he expects society to appreciate.
Whatever.
So that,
nope,
is that
not you, changing my stance.
Is that you agreeing to a 3?
Nope.
He's gonna be contrary now.
Well, I think if three out of four of us vote one answer and one person is only half
put
a point
slightly
off.
Slightly different, yeah.
Yeah, we can
call
it's a 3.
Yeah, it's a 3.
We just whatever. railroad Andrew. See, he says 3.
No, I said whatever.
I mean,
we can very different.
We can say it was actually 3.125 rounded onto a 3.
All right.
All right.
He also cheated by like waiting for all of us.
That's true.
So he's disqualified.
What? I totally said it at the same time as everyone else.
Oh, then you are delayed, my friend.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
It's the only time we notice his delay. I think he might be.
He might be lying.
Yeah.
He might be lying.
He does always say he's the seventh brave. So.
I might be the 8th.
We've reached the end of the show. What did we learn this week?
Gender still sucks.
God.
Yeah.
Cops are funny.
I learned that Rika's grandma is like the coolest.
That's true. We did not talk enough about Rika's grandma.
Well, she doesn't appear much.
She gets like one scene where she like uses the internet and is savvy of the internet. I'm like, cool. That's cool.
Yeah. See, there are lots of cool ladies in this season, and yet.
And yet.
Let us know what you thought about this episode in our comments at pubbages.com/302. We also have detailed notes on the site about all the characters, images, and references we make, so check those out if you are curious about anything we mentioned. If you want to be included in next week's feedback episode, there are several ways.
Such as leave a review in iTunes that we can transgargle.
Vote on your favorite pick from our ridiculous dialogue draft in the poll on the episode page. Rate the episodes we talked about on the episode page.
Send us your 3-word reviews for these episodes on social media.
Tell us the unanswered questions and RDD picks you would have chosen for these episodes on our forum.
Leave us a voicemail answering our question of the week. This week's question is, what would you make your Digimon do in an attempt to make them de-digivolve? If you want to be included on the podcast, keep them under 90 seconds. You can either call 913-CALUMON or record using the voice memo app on your smartphone and email the file to podigious@gmail.com.
Send us questions for Ask Podigious about Digimon or related things.
Or just leave general comments about the episode.
For all feedback, if you would prefer to remain private, just mention that you don't want your name read on air. Also, Tumblr asks are an easy way to send feedback anonymously.
Check out our forum at forum.podigious.com to chat with us and other listeners about random things, participate in the Podigious Fantasy Draft for a chance to win a cool prize, or discuss upcoming episodes with other listeners and predict our reactions.
Follow Podigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with news and get lots of extra images, GIFs, and other fun stuff related to the show. You can find me on Twitter at JeffOnlyJeff. Ashley, where can they find you?
At AshMcD00 on Twitter.
And Asher?
AsherDashery@tumblr.com.
And Andrew?
PhantomChelstF, also at tumblr.com.
Is there still an idle warning?
There's always an idle warning.
You can also find links to all of our social media accounts at podigious.com.
Our column on artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle. Check out her webcomics, Let's Speak English and Kiwi Blitz. And she's also Cube Watermelon on Tumblr and Twitter, where she posts lots of other cool drawings and fan art pieces.
If you like the podcast, you can support us on Patreon like these cool people, Kyle Lani, Sam Krieger, David Gao, Jack Sant, and Steven Patamon. You can support us for as little as $1 a month, as a rookie Patrimon for $5 a month to get stickers, and as a champion Patrimon for only $10 a month to get monthly buttons and early episodes. Share the podcast with your friends who like Digimon Tamers, and if your friends don't like Tamers, why are they your friends?
Next time on Podigious, we'll be watching episodes 10 through 13, where Rika gets a cold and Yamaki sets up a new toy. Bye.
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 And remember, Never stop digivolving. I realize when I listen back, I can't really tell whether I'm saying Ashley or Ash.
Yeah.
Because I speak too fast.
Yeah, you do.
Welcome to Potages, episode 302.
I could never find the place with, what's his name?
Hmm.
You know, the guy who, you know, peers.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't find that village. I overleveled myself.
I have no idea what you're talking about. When I look back on games, I always assume I didn't use a guide. So when Ashley talks about using a guide, I'm like, psh, you needed a guide, but I probably use a guide too.
I also probably wouldn't beat Final Fantasy games. Well, I could probably still beat them, but I wouldn't get any of the special things.
Oh yeah, like actually beating without a guide is probably not too hard, but special things. I think special things almost always require a guide.
But it feels so much more rewarding when you just like find stuff without having looked it up.
I suppose, but it's like, if it takes 10 times as long for 2x the reward, that's not, trade-off isn't worth it, necessarily.
Okay, the point is, I could go beat Final Fantasy X, like, within a couple hours.
Except right you now. Played Blitzball for, like, 20 years.
I have not played Blitzball for 20 hours. I have played Blitzball for, let me do some math.
Oh, God.
Well, I've probably played Final Fantasy XIV by this point for like over a day. It's probably several days of playtime.
Let me see here.
Are you going to factor in the hours it took you to compute the number of hours?
No. I've played Blitzball for perhaps 7 hours.
Are you going to attempt the lightning thing?
Oh, God. Probably not.
See, like, I don't understand the point. Like, if you're going to, like, put so much effort into something as stupid as Blitzball, that you're not going to try the lightning thing.
Okay, you want me to do the lightning thing?
It just seems like...
Is that a challenge? Are you challenging me?
Yeah.
My roommate
know.
Managed to do it, I think.
In general? Like, in the past? Or did you watch him do it?
On the new version, the HD version on the PS3.
Hmm. That's the old version. It's not the PS4 version.
Okay, listen, I had very specific goals in that I wanted to get Anima and the Magnus sisters or whatever, and now I can't because of the Dark Aeons, but if I get Waka's stupid final weapon, then he'll be super strong, and perhaps I can actually defeat the Dark Aeons, and then I can go get Anima, and then I can go get the Magnus sisters.
Wait, so then you can go get Anima and the Magnus sisters, which are not that, like, at the point where you do that, like, they're not actually useful.
But then I can get Yuna's final weapon thing.
Okay, that makes some sense.
Yeah. And then I can go beat the game. That's my goal.
what about X2? 10-2?
We don't speak of it.
I don't have any desire to replay that one.
I have a desire to, like, I remember the gameplay actually being fun and the job system and everything being fun.
Really, you want to replay it?
And I remember, like, the major arc of the story being interesting. It's just every other aspect of it.
Yeah, I tried to 100% it, and I got, like, 99%, and I was really mad. And hence, I don't want to play it again.
Okay, everyone ready to hit record?
Oh, you start as soon as I start playing a game.
Oh, what game are you playing?
I'm playing some stupid hidden object game on my phone. Teenagermon shows up to make fun of Renamon for having a Pokemon trainer. Renamon... Sorry, I like read and I don't realize what I'm reading. Renamon equips Scyther's claws and digivolves to Ninetales because spiders are gross. Ah, why'd you make me say that? I like spiders.
Yeah, he tried to save one last episode. Digimon don't always want to be the champions. Takato is an... Why are they saying long words?
Irresponsible?
My brain just is like, there's too many letters.
I mean, I guess impressionable and irresponsible are both like fairly long words for the complexity. Like they
something
seem
with
more
eyes,
complex than they are.
Stuff that begins with eyes.
Yeah.
Not good. Finally, he's able to de-digivolve through the magic of pathetic fallacy.
Rainbows, yo.
My God, it was embarrassing to watch, actually, that entire episode.
It was embarrassing to listen to.
The whole thing.
I'm getting really sick of the Guillaumon runs away, even though Takato tells him, like, 5 times.
I mean, it's like basically an every episode thing.
Yeah, it's really annoying at this point. No, it's, like, actually annoying.
Yeah. And Takato's reactions every single time, he's just like, Guillaumon is dead and gone forever! And I'm just like, shut up!
I know, I'm like, haven't you learned yet? Neither of you has learned anything. Oh my goodness.
Nobody learns anything ever, period.
I await the episode where it breaks out of this device.
Does it ever?
It has to.
I think this might be one of the... That's what I would have thought at the end of the last arc, though. So, but I think this is the last one.
What happens next? Well, I guess we'll find out.
The next stuff is more exploration of Rika and more setup of Hypnos, I believe.
Yeah, we're getting to the point where, like, I actually don't remember anything that happens from here on out. Like, Ice Devimon hasn't happened yet, right?
That's literally the next episode.
Oh. Okay, that's the, like, the last thing, last concrete thing I remember.
Wait, the question was, he hasn't happened yet. Like, you would have remembered if we just watched him.
Are you sure I would have remembered? You have a very high opinion of me.
So I guess we can pretend that we transitioned into a general discussion.
It was a flawless transition.
Yeah, rebellious and, like, forcing the question down the kids and the Digimon's throats. Is that phrase vulgar in and of itself?
No, it's only when you start thinking of what can be pushed down someone's throat
okay.
It becomes vulgar.
Because I think I said it to someone, and they were like, well, that's really vulgar, Jeff. And I was like, well, I guess it is?
I think
I hear it all the time?
No, it's...
I think it is supposed to just suggest violence more than...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's force feeding more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. And I think a strong aspect of the pathos for Imon, I think I'm using that word correctly. It just means, like, empathy, right?
No. Pathos is, like, when something is, like, wrenchingly sad.
Hmm. Yeah. I think I kind of used it. I didn't define it correctly, but I think I kind of used it correctly, right? Like, that the show has pathos for Imon.
No, that's not really how it's used. Not really. Like... I'm trying to think of a sentence.
Sentences are for wusses. Real men,
like,
just
the pathos words. Is not the feeling you have. It's like the quality in the thing that makes
it evoke of everyone, right?
Yeah.
Right, so I'm saying like the show
does not have pathos for Impmon. It's like Impmon has a show of pathos about him that makes you pity him. It can be kind of a melodramatic thing.
Hmm.
Jeff, what
Jeffrey,
are you doing?
Stop that. Can you see that?
Yes!
What does it look like?
It's driving me crazy.
It's just like every time you move it, it's like Jeffrey Rig. Jeffrey Rig. Stop it!
For listeners, you hear this in the outro cut section or whatever. We have a shared Google Doc that we keep our episode notes in, the outline and stuff, and there is a I don't know what you call it, like a ruler. What does Google Docs call it? A horizontal line separating things. And I found that you can, like, move the cursor. You can put the cursor to the left of it, and you can also put it to the right of it. And so I've just been having fun, like, moving the cursor back and forth, like, flipping back and forth between the two sides of the ruler. But every time you move the cursor in Google Docs, everyone else who's
like
in the document
Jeff.
Can see your thing, see your name. So every time I move it, it shows up, and it is bothering everyone else. And now they're doing it, and I can see how annoying it is.
Is it annoying?
It's so annoying.
It's so fun for me, though.
I'm gonna kill you.
I'm gonna murder you.
I can't tell what color the next thing is.
It's Ashley. It's red.
You can't see red.
I tried making a colorblind joke. I don't think I posted it in the Slack in the React in the like that channel with the pictures because I couldn't think of a good joke. But like, there's a moment where like brown paint falls on Terrymon, and I went to make a joke, but I couldn't tell the difference
between the grass and
or no, like that anything was off because he's normally green.
But he's white.
He's white.
Right. Like he's not that green. That's why I was like, this isn't a good joke.
Right.
Only his like paws and part of his ears are green.
Oh, watching him close his. Cover his eyes with his ears, the door.
Okay.
Also, did you notice somebody called Terriermon a rabbit with dog ears?
It was Impmon.
Yeah. That answers our question. Thank you, Impmon.
dog-eared rabbit, I think is what he said.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. His ears are rabbit ears. I'm so confused. Right? I am more confused than ever.
Yeah.
Ip Man, get a better writer.
Actually, I also want to talk about dreams.
Do you? What do you want to say about dreams? Really? Are you playing Captain Jack to me?
Yes.
Is this the one DDR song you remember?
I remember more. This one just... The episode was titled Dream a Little Dream, so then I thought I'd dream a dream. Dream a little dream.
Are you going to play this whole song? Okay.
I'd wait until the drop.
Gotta get to the drop, yo.
Alright, okay.
Dream drop so. Distance. The distance to the dream drop, one could say.
Don't talk. Get your Kingdom Hearts crap out of here.
I'm proud of myself. I actually recognized what that was from.
The song or the dream drop distance reference?
Oh, the dream drop distance. Blah, 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 blah.
Obviously, of course I knew the song.
Of course.
Duh. Come on.
I'm sorry I insulted your DDR intelligence.
Really?
And of course, they're already getting a remake of that game.
Of Dream Drop Distance?
Yeah.
But didn't that...
It's in Kingdom Hearts 2.8.
Is it that...
Wait, is that a thing? Is that an actual thing?
Yes, that's an actual thing, actually.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's not that it's that old, but it's for a console that... It's for... There's going to be four, like PS4, I assume, right? The remake? Whereas the original was on 3DS, so it's kind of... 3DS is sold well, but not as well as PS4.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous!
I think also the title. Let me look up the title. It's not just called Kingdom Hearts 2.8. It's called the Kingdom Hearts 2.8 Prologue Sequel or something. No, it's called Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue.
I hate you, Kingdom Hearts.
That is
going on the record with your ridiculous naming.
Just
released Kingdom Hearts 3 already. Just stop with your ridiculousness.
The other frustrating thing is it's not stylized like the Arabic numeral 2.8. It's Roman numeral 2.Arabic numeral 8. So yeah.
I hate you, Kingdom Hearts.
And it's only on the PS4 because it's using part of the engine of 3.
Yeah, but the other games aren't for PS4, right? Or have they remade them for PS4?
I think it's coming to the PS4.
I don't see that. Yeah, so you can't even get them all in one system, which was, I assume, the whole point of this. But it's an 8 because it looks like an infinity sign, which means they're going to be making it forever.
Yes. Well, we already realized that.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 2 came out...
Like 2004? No, 5.
Okay, so it was 10 years ago.
And where's 3?
What was it?
And where's 3?
It's on its way.
Uh-huh. I liked when he was giving bread to Ip Man, and I was like, did one of these breads look like a poop swirl? what's happening here? It did,
but then I was like, that's just a pastry. Corona. Yeah.
I've had it before.
Wait, but it's like a poop swirl?
I mean,
it's a like chocolate corona. It's just bread with chocolate in it.
Yeah, it had like an inside. Once you bit it, there was stuff on the inside. But yeah, it does have a swirl that is reminiscent of the poop emoji swirl.
Honestly,
thing.
It's more like a dog toy.
This picture where like the chocolate inside, like it just looks like poop. The inside.
It just looks like poop.
We'll have a picture in the show notes of this particular image, but it just looks like poop.
But okay, wait. In the second episode or whatever, like sure, Takato didn't plan to.
You can't finish your sentence because you're looking at the poop in the middle of this pastry.
Yes.
Like it looks like it's a poop dispenser. Which is like, I'm used to seeing like chocolate croissants that have like the same kind of chocolate filling, but this is just...
It actually looks delicious. I want one.
I would still eat it, but I might laugh a little.
Honestly, I was kind of disappointed because I expected the bread to be, you know, sweet, but it was just bread.
Mm. Are there good Japanese pastries I should try?
Taiyaki.
That's the like fish thingy, right?
Yeah, go to Shibuya for it. I'll just tell you what the place is called.
But it's like, it tastes like food. It tastes like fish, right?
No.
What?
Oh,
no.
I mean, it's shaped like fish. That's reasonable.
It has nothing to do with fish.
Nothing to do with fish. That has nothing to do with anything.
Obviously.
Yeah, Jeffrey, the poop swirl doesn't taste like poop. I mean...
It tastes like chocolate.
Duh.
Although... So one of the other sources that I've been like reading thoughts about each episode, I forget what it's called. It's on Digipedia website, and they note whenever the classroom and like the layout of kids around Takato and Jerry changes, and like changes every episode. It's kind of not very consistent, but that's kind of dumb. Like, that does not matter. Actually, I hope I wasn't, like, too combative.
No.
You're always combative.
I mean, genders. My goal with that is not to, like, shoot either of you down and be like, you're wrong and, like, the way you interpret things is wrong, but to, like, anticipate ways that people might write off things and, like, explore that, like, the reaction to those counterpoints.
I know that.
Okay. Are you saying you're playing white boy devil's advocate?
Yeah.
I guess so. Mm. You're fair like that, it seems silly.
Mm.
And I don't know, I don't consider it as, like, cynical as devil's advocate, because devil's advocate, I feel like, is someone who, like doesn't believe the position at all, but is like, I'm going to pretend to have this position to, like, force you to address that argument, which seems...
Actually, I feel like normally people are like, I'm just playing devil's advocate, and actually they kind of believe their position a little bit.
Yeah.
They don't want to admit to it, but they're like, I actually do this really horrible thing, but...
Yeah. It's not so much that they believe one thing, but they are not convinced and are somewhat resistant to believing the thing that you are pushing.
Yeah.
The way Axel's characterization, I assume you guys played Chain of Memories?
No.
Oh. Well, Axel's in Chain of Memories before Kingdom Hearts 2, and he's, like, a totally different character. And I was like, because in Chain of Memories, he's, like, kind of, like, not really silent, but, like, stoic badass, kind of. And then in Chain of Memories, he's, like, really, like, passionate and got it memorized, like, has a verbal thing and stuff. And I was like, is this even the same character?
A verbal thing?
Oh, you know what I mean. A catchphrase. That's what it's called.
And it's very different from a verbal thing.
What? It's a thing that's verbal. Yeah. John.
Yes.
Asher must now do the number John.
Oh, must I? I started playing my game again.
Asher.
I'm sorry.
You had one job. Lisa.
Lisa, some voicemail. If you're a Tremon.
If you are a Tremon, come to me. I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
Is that what rabbis are called these days?
Rabbi Lorax.
That's not what we're going to call you now.
And if your friends don't like tamers, why are they your friends?
I find that troubling. Troubling question.
Who writes this?
That's why I write this and can cut it all out and suppress all dissenting opinions. That's why they call me the podcast dictator.
Who calls you that?
I do.
Yeah. Are you Jeff. A they now? Jeff is
Jeff.
Is that
Kusama's gonna get you.
I'm creating the atmosphere. I control the Kusamas.
No, I'm pretty sure
What are you guys talking about, actually? This has been like the fourth time.
Got to find crowd's insight.
Okay. I see.
I didn't pronounce the and last time, and it really frustrated me. It was just, remember, never stop digivolving, and I was like, ugh.
Never stop digivolving unless Takato tells you to.
Also, Andrew, the video, the tri PV set to Here We Go, made me realize that for the first two seasons, we used Here We Go as the intro music, and it says never stop, never stopping. I never made the connection to never stop digivolving. Such a good connection.
I'm done with you.
It was totally unintentional.
Are we stopping?
No, never stopping, actually. Never stopping.